much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just hand me something that looks like a sandwich and I'll put it in my mouth.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, coasting time is officially over. Big changes are coming, and they're coming fast. If you don't like them, this is called a door. You can walk right through it. All right? I'm not here to be your friend. I like my life outside of this place. I live to leave at 5.
Why would anyone want to participate in such a thing?
I don't know. So that's a toss-up.
Did you get that, Ma? Your boy, Kevin, is in the inner circle.
Don't forget that. If you forget it, I'm going to come get you and take out your garbage for a week.
And now,
I like to look someone in the eye and smile when I say that what you're doing is bad. It's just horrible.
Our feature presentation.
Why, thank you. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
I haven't hey Lisa'd in like a week, by the way.
I'm buzzed.
Doesn't mean I wasn't thinking it, though. Yeah. How you doing?
Good. That was a little less creepy, too. I think he's kind of on the upswing.
Wow. Okay, nice. Look, there's nothing dumber than buying a lottery ticket, right? We all agree with that.
Yeah, until you win.
Yeah, but here's until the thing about win. That. It is dumb, but also the downside is pretty insignificant. So,
right.
Not that big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, you have a 90, it's 99% like taking a $10 bill or however much you buy every day or every week or whatever it is and just burning it, though. I mean, the results are almost statistically identical. So if you wouldn't burn a $10 bill once a week, I don't know, buy a lottery ticket.
When you burn a $100 bill, there's no 1% chance that you're going to be rich.
Right.
Like there is with the lottery ticket.
If you wish there were a 1% chance, it's so much lower than that.
Whatever the chance is, it's higher than burning it.
I think you're paying for the dream.
The thrill.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, Lisa's right. Until you win. And that's when you get to rub it in everybody's face. And that's what keeps the lotteries going. And that's how they make so much money. And there's a story in the news about a lottery. And this happens from time to time. This one is in Ohio. $99 million lottery was won a couple of weeks ago by some people who worked at a company called Craftmade in Middlefield, Ohio. I don't know what they make at Craftmade. I'm shocked to find a manufacturing plant of any kind in the United States of America.
Sure.
but apparently they make something there. $99 million.
Oh.
How many people?
I think it was 22, I want to say. So then there's this guy who is named Edward Hairston from Youngstown who works at the plant, had paid into the pool for 8 years. But you could already write the rest of this story.
Decided this year was
not at work when the money was being put in this time around. And of course they won, and now of course he's suing. Now, you be the judge. I say, sorry you missed that day, but if you didn't put in your buck, you don't get the part of the jackpot, right?
I say that's yes, unless he talked to somebody and said put it in for me.
Which he did not.
Now it gets murky. Okay, if he just didn't, then
yeah.
That's God's way of pointing and laughing.
Because it does seem to me, if the lottery is a thing that you do and have done for 8 years, you ought to have some sort of chain of command of your buck if you can't be there or whatever. Hey, go ahead and put it in for me if I'm not there or whatever. Or even, hey, I just found out I'm not going to be there this day or this week. Go ahead and put in the dollar for me because I don't want to miss out.
Right.
But if you don't do that, how can you then sue and say, I deserve a piece of that money because I paid in for 8 years? You can't. I mean, I guess you can. You can sue for anything, but there's no chance, right?
I can't imagine there's any legal precedent to go, yeah, he gets a part of that.
Because he used to pay. Yes, Lisa.
If you like the guy and something happened where at the last minute he couldn't make it into work, well, let's say his mom was sick or something.
But you know his intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say, let's cut him in?
No.
Because I would.
Because it would be so much fun for the rest of my life to be able to go, oh, man, is living in Bermuda different than living in Ohio?
Right. And then you go, where are you living? Oh.
Oh, that's right.
All right. I was the question.
Oh, you're still working at the Craftmade? Really? Because I'm in Egypt. I don't know about you. Well, a judge has ruled that they need to set aside $2 million of that jackpot just in case his lawsuit ends up prevailing. They want to make sure that the money still exists if he ends up winning. But the legal experts say they think there's very little chance that he will.
I can't imagine.
You got to pay to play, right?
Right.
Well, you can't win if you don't play. Isn't that what we've heard?
I meant to be a part of that pool, too. So yes, maybe I should be involved in the suit.
Hey, great idea. Right? You were planning on getting in on it just that week, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
So anyway, that's the thing, though. The $99 million, and you see a story like this, and you know, forget the lawsuit part. Somebody did win that, so that's why you put your dollar or your five or your ten or whatever it is down, because maybe it could be you.
Yeah, that's crazy. I have a much smaller scale story, but I was in Las Vegas. It was the exact same thing, except for I was antagonistic. So we were in Las Vegas, and there were about eight of us, and they were playing video poker. I think it was video poker. And they said, hey, put in your $10 or whatever. And I was like, you people are crazy. And you, of course, know how this story ends.
Yes.
So everybody else put in their money, and they, you know, hit the button. And then a royal flush came up. And, the bells go off and the alarm and everything, and the security guards come over and they bring the big check and they have a cameraman.
What's the payoff for that?
For what they put in, I think it was like $5,000, much smaller.
Nice.
But it was like $5,000. It was only like eight of them, and I was the ninth person. There were only nine of us total. So they said, here, Kevin, why don't you take the picture? Which really is the right way to go.
Absolutely.
Because I didn't just not pay. I was mocking them for their belief in this absurd idea that they might win money.
So your $10 would have turned into several hundred dollars about 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and I mouthed off, and then they hit the very next time. So the amount of time between mouthing off and the actual payoff was less than a minute.
That's awesome.
It wasn't awesome for me. Yeah. My wife got in on it.
Oh, good. Now,
she did.
Not me. And then she did the right thing and said, I'm not sharing it with you.
Absolutely not.
That's the right thing.
Like, honey, come on. Take us to dinner. Nope.
My money. Mine.
She might have thought of it if I wasn't so mouthy before.
Right.
But I was mocking them all like they were the stupid ones. And they are, by the way, and for the most part, until that time they hit, which happened to be that time.
That's awesome.
So, good times. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What?
We have Scott Cranford on the show.
And yes, we do.
I don't know if you are familiar with him, but he is the guy who plays Superman at the big conferences that they have every year. What's the name of the city?
Well, Metropolis.
Metropolis.
Yeah, just like where Superman's from. But it's a big honor to be the official Superman of the town during their Superman days or Superman week or whatever it is they have. And you go around in the outfit and tourists take their picture with you and stuff.
Hey,
and he's very much in it. Yes.
Have you seen the movie?
I have not.
Yeah, it's not a big honor.
Well, I would imagine it would be.
Nope.
You would imagine. No one cares?
No one cares? They care. It's just, how do I describe it? It's not a loser town, but it's a tiny town. Mm-hmm. And everything is like super rinky dink and like second class. And I don't know. It just strikes you as, all right, take it easy. Your name is Metropolis. You know, we got it.
Well, they're doing everything they can to make a little money at least one week a year, I guess, by tying into that. And I don't blame Scott Cranford for wanting to be a part of that. I mean, he's a comic book geek, and he gets the opportunity to play Superman. I think it's got to be fun for him.
Yes, I would think so. I don't know. I watched the movie, and I was just like, this is one of those deals where, you know, sometimes there are little local celebrations where everybody just has the best time ever.
Yes.
And this is one of those things where you look at it and you go, yeah, they're having a good time and all, but they must. There's a whole downside to it, and the whole downside is that it sucks. And they do like a drama. They do like a play that he's involved in, and it's horrible. I mean, it's bad for all the right reasons. So it's a fascinating movie. This movie that he's done, Heroic Ambition, but you wouldn't want to be a part of it. You don't look at it. You don't look at it and go, if I was anywhere near there, I'd go there.
Yeah, I'm not traveling.
No.
For that.
You wouldn't.
It's not as cool as Pluto Days in Streeter, Illinois, is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'd go to Superman first.
Okay.
Because Pluto's not a planet, so that seems dumb. But we have Scott Cranford in the studio. He's also created a bunch of other superheroes. And in case you haven't heard what those are, You're going to be in for a treat because Malt Man really.
Oh, Malt Man.
Malt Man really rules.
Yes.
So he's created these superheroes, and they have really funny names, and they are the most ridiculous superheroes you've ever heard of. So he's all gold. So we've got him coming in today. Can't wait.
Okay.
Got a brand new Beans Death Corner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, a lot of good death. A lot of good death this time around.
Is there good death?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
If I'm going to die, and of course I am, I hope I die in an interesting and hilarious way that everybody around me can continue to enjoy it.
So you'd like it to be the opposite of Elvis, for example. Or was that interesting?
It was interesting.
I think people still remember. Yeah, people still remember that. But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating the way people die.
Sure. There's a place in North Carolina, South Carolina, someplace where they have a nap class. They actually have a class that you can show up at lunch for a half hour. And there are a bunch of, like, hammocks hanging from the ceiling. And you walk in, and then they say, okay, nap! And then you lay down in these hammock-style things, and everybody has to be quiet. And then they take a nap. I'm sure they pay, by the way. And
oh,
then,
yeah.
You know, and then, you know, and then at the end of 30 minutes, the little dinger goes off, and they all get up and walk out, and they go, I feel great.
That's so strange.
Why can't they do that at home? I don't know. But there's a class that you can go to nap.
And isn't the class just close your eyes and go to sleep? I mean, isn't that the only instruction necessary there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't teach you anything about sleeping or anything. They just give you the hammock and the 30 minutes. So people show up in their, you know, in their dress clothes from their work or whatever, and they get in the hammock in their dress clothes, and then they just, you know, nap.
I like it.
That happens. Okay, nap! we're going to play Snooki or Chloe.
That's always fun.
One of the games that's sweeping the nation, I think. This is where we take tweets from Snooki and or Chloe, and then we have to decide which one it is. Now, I haven't seen him yet because Ralph hosts this, so we have to guess whether Snooki wrote the tweet or Chloe wrote the tweet. And in some cases, it could very well have been either of them.
It can be confusing.
It's always not good.
Right.
I mean, what's Snooki going to tweet that anybody needs or wants to hear? So anyway, we got that coming up. We have some highlights of a new Repo Games. Very excited about that. And you woke up to a surprise. And it involved, I guess we could say it involved drinking. I think that's basically when you wake up to a surprise. We were talking to Nick.
Usually otherwise you remember what happened the night before.
We were talking to Nick Swardson yesterday about his new movie, and he said that, I don't know, he just told us this weird story about how he was out drinking, he was doing karaoke, and then he was woken up at like 4 in the morning by a rabbi who was sitting at his side in his house, and they were watching Avatar.
Yeah.
None of which he remembers or knows how they got to that point. And the rabbi said, all right, well, I'm going to take off then. And he said, okay. And then the rabbi left and he was thinking, what could possibly have led me to this position? Alcohol is the answer.
Of course.
We're going to take your calls if you have those stories. You woke up to a surprise. Say, for example, you're supposed to be at work and you wake up in a bush. That's pretty weird, right?
Can you imagine that, Beer Mug?
Yeah. That was the day after St. Patrick's Day. And it was like 7:30, 7:45.
He was supposed to be here.
We got a call from Beer Mug. He was like, dude, I'm in a bush. We were like, what? Took him 15 minutes to describe to us how he found himself in a bush. In a part of town that he doesn't live in. And he doesn't know how he got there or anything. I mean, it's that's the kind of stuff right there that separates our listeners from most.
I gotta say, it was a great night.
Yep. I'm sure it was.
You think. You've heard.
So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Ralph, how far back did you crank the Wayback Machine today?
I don't understand the question, Your Honor.
I'm sorry. I thought we were just playing the live song. Maybe we were coming out with something else. Just seemed like from the 1800s. I was just a little bit surprised. I hadn't heard that song since I was a child.
Ah.
So I thought maybe that's what was going on here. All right. Back to you. It's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Just want to give everybody a heads up. They are recalling the Quaker Chewy Smash Bar Graham Pretzel. Anyone who currently has a Quaker Chewy Smash Bar Graham Pretzel snack bar in their hands, please put it down.
Never heard of it, but it sounds great.
Sounds horrible, you mean?
Either one, yeah.
If you are eating the Quaker Chewy Smash Bar Graham Pretzel snack bar, you deserve to die. That's what I think. So just keep eating.
What the hell? I saw that come over the bulletin, the news wire. I was like, really? There are a lot of people chewing on the Quaker Chewy Smash Bar Graham Pretzels bars?
It sounds like they just kind of threw everything they had left over.
What do we got
in
the back there here at Quaker Oats? What do we got in the storeroom? We got graham crackers, pretzels, some chewy stuff. All right, mash it into a bar. Call it the Smash Bar. Put it out. That people eat it. No, I'll give you a heads up.
Now they're saying don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
All right.
Don't eat it. It's got an undeclared milk allergen.
Oh, sweet.
I'm okay with declared milk allergens, but sure. I will not abide the undeclared
they
milk allergens.
They have to be honest.
They do.
It.
All right, in showbiz news, everyone's talking about Nick Jonas and his new girlfriend. They apparently were seen hanging out together, playing in the sunshine in Los Cabos, Mexico, last weekend. This is the reason everybody's talking. He is 18 years old, Nick Jonas is.
Right.
She is 26 years old.
Wow.
And smoking hot. Everybody's like, ooh, Nick Jonas, ooh, stud, ooh, ooh. Hey, let me remind you all, people, okay? All the Jonas Boys wear those fruity rings that say they're going to be celibate until they get married. So this 26-year-old hottie is wasted on this kid. Wasted.
If you believe he's sticking to that, which I don't.
I do.
Where is he? Is it Mexico?
Just that
Puerto
lane. Los Cabos.
Los Cabos.
Yeah.
Come on now. She's hot.
And he's Nick Jonas.
I know, but...
But he's Nick Jonas.
I'm with you, but
I'm saying he's Nick Jonas.
But they're there, and they're
and
staying
he's
in,
Nick
this,
Jonas.
In the same room.
How do we know they're in the same room? We've just seen them frolicking in the sunshine. They may go back to some sort of vault somewhere where he gets locked away behind 3 inches of tungsten steel.
We do not know.
Sir.
Is he a guy?
Yes.
Then there's no way he's
Is he wearing
that
little ring on his finger?
Not part-time in Cabo.
Pretty soon here. Ryan Gosling has a new girlfriend, too. He is dating the lovely and talented Eva Mendes, apparently.
Oh, nice.
And those two were seen partying at Disneyland this past weekend. According to bystanders, the beautiful duo held hands, kissed, ate junk food, and frolicked like kids. In the nude.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's true.
I think you could do that at Disneyland.
That's a pretty strong get for Ryan Gosling, if you ask me. Jessica Simpson reportedly wants to get her breasts reduced.
That's the only good thing about her.
So she'll look better in her wedding gown for her upcoming nuptials. Let me tell you something. You get your breasts reduced, you won't have to worry about wearing a wedding gown. Jessica Simpson.
That's all she's got.
Madonna is cheesing up some people. She's not nice, apparently. That's the word on the street.
You mean in her personal life?
Yeah.
Aww.
She is. She broke the heart of a fan this week. Showed up at a press junket for that horrible film she's directed, W.E., mm-hmm. about the...
I don't know what that is.
It's the story of Wallace Simpson and the King Edward, who abdicated his throne in England so he could marry a commoner, this American divorcee. You may have remembered that story from the King's Speech. If you saw the King's Speech, his brother...
I do remember
abdicated,
that.
left... You know, the royal family to marry this woman decided not to be king.
Seems like a fascinating story.
It is a fascinating
well.
Story.
It is.
Madonna may not be the choice to direct it.
Oh.
Her film W.E., which is the story of that that romance, apparently not getting good reviews as it opened up in the film festivals this past month. Well, a fan showed up, huge fan of Madonna, showed up with a potted plant to the press junket, wanted to give her some greenery because she knows she's a big fan of nature and what have you. Madonna apparently didn't know the microphone was still on at the end of the junket and told someone to throw
Listen,
it out.
People, the microphone, if you're a celebrity, the microphone is always still on.
Told one of her flunkies to get rid of it and apparently said accidentally into the microphone, I absolutely loathe hydrangeas. That's when you just hit her with one of those beanbag guns.
Bitch got no class.
No, she does not. Legal news. Some celebrities having run-ins with the law. Michael Anthony Hall apparently ticked off his neighbors this week. He went bat-ass crazy and started tearing up his Los Angeles condominium complex on Sunday night. Word is he went on a rampage yelling at his fellow tenants, pounding on people's doors, and tearing up and throwing plants.
What? Do we know why?
It doesn't say here.
Okay.
But someone was cheesed off enough to call the cops demanding that he be arrested, and LAPD... took their advice. They charged him with suspicion of disturbing the peace, and he was released shortly after midnight yesterday morning, so he's got some splaining to do. Maybe we'll find out why he was so upset.
I've been ticketed, whatever, for disturbing the peace, but there's no suspicion of disturbing the peace.
Apparently there is.
That's odd.
I guess if the cops don't actually witness it, they can't say you disturbed the peace.
Oh,
there has to be some sort of investigation. If a cop visually sees you disturbing the peace.
That was the difference.
I'm sure that was the case. He's, I'm sure you were disturbing the peace for long enough that many people, including several police officers, saw you actually in the act.
All right.
Here the cops showed up after the fact, so I guess they have to investigate to see what was going on.
What was that cable show that Anthony Michael Hall was on for a while that was very popular on in recent years. Ralph, do you remember? He had a big cable hit.
Yeah, the Dead Zone was TV version of the Stephen King novel.
And I thought, at the time I saw him doing promotion for that, I thought, the dude looks like he's way jacked up on steroids. I wonder if he still is and if that contributed to the rage.
Roid rage.
Yeah.
He was really angry at those plants for not being buff.
Maybe they were hydrangeas.
Maybe Madonna and he have a problem. Today's celebrity birthday is Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 60 years old today. Michael Emerson, one of my favorite actors. He, of course, was on Lost for many seasons. Got that new show, Persons of Interest, coming out on CBS. He was Ben, yes.
On Lost, yeah.
Leader of the Others. 57 years old today, as is Corbin Burnson. Tom Everett Scott, speaking of good actors, he's off Southland this season. I'm bummed. I thought he was great on Southland. 41 years old today, Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie turns 38. Evan Rachel Wood is 24 years old today, and actor Devon Sawa is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. By the way, speaking of Nirvana, speaking of the Nevermind album, which, of course, as you know by now, if you have a TV, is celebrating its 20th anniversary this month.
What?
They're doing a couple of Nirvana reunions, but there's a key member missing is what I'm noticing at all these Nirvana reunions. And one of them is coming up later this month on the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart is going to sit down with the two remaining guys, our friend Dave Grohl and Chris Novoselic from Nirvana, to talk about making Nevermind, which is going to be – that's kind of odd for Jon Stewart to be the guy to do that kind of a music program, right?
That is weird, but mm-hmm. I like it.
I do, too. I look forward to seeing it. Anyway, big times. And, of course, they're re-releasing that album, too, with a bunch of additional material. So, good times. 20 years since Nevermind.
Had a friend send me an email with a clip of, I guess, Howard Stern still does a satellite show or something.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He sent me a clip from yesterday or the day before, recent, where he said, yeah, it's just like that guy from Nirvana, you know, that drummer guy. I guess he started a new band and is doing pretty well. Wow. I was like, really? Isn't he more well-known for Foo Fighters than he is Nirvana at this point?
I guess so.
That was one of the strangest things I've ever heard. All right, let's talk about one of my new favorite shows, which is Repo Games.
Yes, Repo Games. I love it so much.
So sweet. It's on Tuesday nights at 11 p.m. on Spike. And this is where the people fall behind in their payments in their car or vehicle. And the repo guy shows up. Now, normally, and Bean and I have gone on a ride-along with the repo guy before. Normally, they show up in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. and they have a key or they've figured out a way to get into the car, and basically, they just steal it. So, you go to bed at night, your car's there, you wake up in the morning, your car's gone. But it's legal.
Right.
It's legal, and because you fell behind in your payments, then you have to, I guess, catch up on your payments and go to the scrapyard or wherever they took it, you know. And but these people get a chance to win their car, not only the back payments, but all of the future payments. They'll pay it off if they win, you know, if they win this game, this repo game. So they ask them five questions, and if they get three of them right, they'll pay off the car.
It's an awesome deal.
And part of the beauty of the show is the people on it are so dumb. Like, the questions aren't, you would think, this is for a car, this is for all of my back payments and all future payments. The questions are going to be pretty hard. Well, they're not terribly hard. I got to be honest. They're pretty easy sometimes.
You give them a pretty good chance.
Yes. And the people that don't get it are fascinating. Bean saw a tease, and I want to play you the tease that he saw, or at least a clip of. One of the fascinating things about these car owners is that the guy comes to the door. He says, I'm the repo man. They say, put my car down. They look out. They see it's on a tow truck. Put my car down. And they think that legally somehow they've got the clout. Like, they can call the police if you don't put the car down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the police will just say he's got a, you know. He's got the
right paperwork.
The paperwork that he needs, so you're screwed. But this particular guy, he's kind of a fat guy, he decided that the way to do it was they weren't putting his car down, so he was going to run out into the street and lay in front of the tow truck, which was hooked up to his car. So for them to leave with his car, they would have to run over him.
I got your car in the back of my tow truck. It's up for repo by the lender.
Whoa, dude, put my car on the ground, man. Are you serious?
Come on, James. Relax.
Hey, come on, put that down.
Hey, not gonna help, man.
Put that
down. Not gonna help.
Out of my way. No, put that down, man.
Not gonna help.
Right,
what are you doing, man?
Oh, that, man. Right about here, man. Good luck running my ass over.
By the way, just for the record, they couldn't have run his ass over. It's a pretty big ass, even for a tow truck.
Ain't gonna happen, boss. Good luck.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, boss. How are you gonna get out of here, man? You ain't gonna drag me away. Put my car back down. I got.
Look. I have good news for you, okay? I'm Josh Lewis, the host of Repo Games. All you need to do is answer 3 out of 5 trivia questions correctly, and I'll pay off your car today.
No joke?
That's no joke, bro. All right? That's serious. I want you to get up, play some repo games, and we want to keep you in the vehicle, all right?
It'd probably make me feel better if you turn the truck off, man.
Not enough. He doesn't like the opportunity. He wants him to turn off the tow truck just to make sure they don't escape. Guy stands up. 1, 2, 3. Keeps the car.
Awesome.
Right, really?
No problem with it at all. Two questions I didn't know the answer to.
Wow. What would they have done, by the way, or what do they do in the event that somebody does lay down in front of? Do they just call the police and have that person removed, or what?
I imagine that, I mean, let's face it, there's some giant guys there. They could pick them up, but they don't want to get in a fight. So.
Right. Of course not. Yeah.
I imagine they call the police, yeah.
Interesting. Wow, his day, that guy's day turned around. He went from nothing going on to, oh my God, I'm going to lose my car, to, wow, my car's paid off.
Yeah. And awesome. it wasn't even difficult. I mean, he just nailed them and said, thank you, drop the car, I'll see you later. But that wasn't the case for this woman from Mesa, Arizona. It's a suburb of Phoenix. And she was getting her car repossessed. And she's a little giggly, which is odd. You know, everybody reacts to stress in a different way. But she was a little giggly. And she was not necessarily the sharpest tool of the shed either. So here is question number one, which seems like you could answer this question before he even gets it out.
What East Coast city is known as Beantown?
All right, right?
Yes.
Right.
How
right.
hard is that?
Done.
Not hard.
This is for a car, he's asking.
As Beantown?
Never heard of it.
I'm a native. How in the hell am I supposed to know the answer to that?
All right. So what she's saying is...
Because you live in America, lady.
Right. What she's saying is she lives in Phoenix. How could she possibly know the nickname of Boston?
I guess the Big Apple would totally floor her, too. It'd be like, right. What?
I'm a native. You can't hold that against me.
Florida?
Florida.
Okay, now, the question is what city?
Right.
She's going with Florida.
I don't know what to tell you. That's the only answer I could come up with. I'm thinking East Coast. That's the only thing I can even think of on the East Coast right now.
Okay. Well, that answer is incorrect.
Okay.
First of all, Florida is a state. The correct answer is Boston.
Boston.
Yeah. Still hadn't heard of it. Like, that didn't help. That didn't help her. She went, Boston, Beantown, sure. Like, it didn't spur any memory in her.
This is not good.
Because she's a native.
In her defense, she's from Arizona. How would she know?
So that's number one. Number two, I'm not sure I could have gotten the answer to. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I couldn't have.
Great Lips.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't put the question here. What are the 5 best-selling cereals?
Yeah, that's really just a guess.
Yeah, so how do you know exactly?
Great Lips, Cheerios has to be one of them.
Okay, Cheerios.
Frosted Flakes, because they're great. Frosted Mini Wheats.
Well, that answer is...
Okay, so by the way, that's it. She came up with 4 of them.
Right.
And he wants 5.
So that's a nearly impossible question to answer, by the way.
I think so.
I agree, but listen to the answer.
Incorrect. So the answer is... Frosted Flakes,
right?
Frosted Mini Wheats, Cheerios, Honey Nut Cheerios, and Honey Bunches of Oats.
Hey!
Now, that's a strange reaction, right?
Yeah.
She said, hey, I said some of those. Well, that's not the question.
Right.
You have to name all 5, right?
Honey Bunches of Oats, what's going on? How's that top selling?
I buy that sometimes, but I'm surprised to hear it in the top 5.
All right, so that's 2 wrong. You got to get 3 out of 5, which means she has to get 3 in a row now. Okay.
Yeah.
So this next one is going to be an affront to Ralph, and I hope he doesn't try to track this woman down and take her life. But this seems, again, especially since it's, you know, the next question that she has to, the next hurdle before her car, this seems pretty easy.
This answer could potentially determine the future of your vehicle.
Don't put that negative out there.
What mutant group attended Professor Charles Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters?
That's pretty easy, right?
Well, for people who consume pop culture, it is, yes. But, like, my dad would never know.
No.
I mean, he's never heard of the X-Men, if they were asking him. But, I mean, for young people who pay attention to movies or comic books, yeah, absolutely, it's easy.
Is your dad a native?
Maybe that's the problem.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Okay, that's her answer. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He didn't say mutant.
So then he says... Look, take a little time. Think about it. Talk through it.
Is that your answer?
Yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's her answer.
That answer is incorrect.
Oh, man. What was it?
X-Men.
I should have known that.
Hey, Greg. We got a loser. It's ours now, buddy. Take it away.
Oh, rub it in.
Yeah.
These questions were supposed to be easy.
That's a good point.
Wait, where is that written, by the way? Where is it written that somebody who comes to take your car away has to give you the opportunity to win it back with a trivia game?
I'd like to suggest that Beantown, pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Cereal, a little difficult.
Right.
I don't know. Music, I mean...
X-Men.
X-Men, pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about keeping your car...
Right.
So they drive off with it, and she
doesn't love this show so much.
She doesn't have a car. It's Repo Games on Tuesday nights at 11.
About 50 minutes from now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we'll tell you about a place you can go to take a class in taking a nap. Again, doesn't seem like that difficult a concept, but we will explore on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up later today.
First, though, it's time for a new game.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are Chloe or Snooki. It's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
You might be missing the point here, but all right.
So basically what happens is Khloe Kardashian has a computer and Snooki from the Jersey Shore has a computer and they use it to tweet. They inflict their tweets on our poor world and then we have to try to decide. Don't say it. We have to try to decide whose tweets are whose, because how do you tell the difference between those two geniuses, right?
Yeah, we try to pick two people that are almost impossible to tell between.
Yeah.
So here we got this, Khloe or Snooki. Ralph's going to read the tweet.
Who's keeping track of who wins? You got it?
I got it.
All right. Let's start, shall we?
Yep. Glamour time! That's a tweet.
That's the whole thing?
That is a tweet. That is a tweet that somebody tweeted. Glamour time! Glamour time! I'm going Chloe on that one.
I am too, because Chloe at least is in a family and a lifestyle where they sometimes dress up to go out, and I don't think Snooki does. Yeah, so I'm going to say Chloe.
Everybody in?
No, wait, I'm Snooki.
You're saying Snooki?
You said Chloe, though.
Yeah, you did.
No, I'm thinking Snooki.
Oh, I see. Right.
I must have said the wrong thing. I'm going Snooki.
You're going Snooki.
Yes.
Bean's going Chloe.
Yes.
Lisa?
Chloe.
Chloe. All right.
Chloe.
Did I say Snooki?
I meant Chloe.
Yeah.
Snooki goes slutty time.
Right, exactly. She's no glamour in Snooki's life.
No, but I thought she thinks there is. Oh. Back to you.
What a douche kebab, LOL. What a douche kebab, LOL.
That's Snooki.
I think so, too.
I do, too. I agree with the group.
Come on!
Yeah!
Chloe!
She fooled us.
Come on now!
No.
Douche kebab.
Douche kebab. OMG! Watching African cats! OMG! Watching African cats!
Is this a good use of Twitter?
Oh, how dare you?
Yeah, you of all people.
Let's not open that can of worms, if you don't mind.
OMG, watching African cats.
Snooki.
I don't think
Snooki would ever
sounds
watch
like a documentary or
African
something.
African
like
cats.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Kevin. I'm going to go Chloe also.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
Snooki!
Snooki watching African
Snooki
cats.
Snooki watching African cats.
What?
When did soap operas turn into porn? The tweet reads.
When did soap operas?
It doesn't sound like either of them.
Turn into porn.
Tell me what show I should be watching during the day. I didn't know.
They are very racy.
Yet they can't get any ratings.
I don't think Snooki would be at all upset about that. So I'm going with Chloe.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too.
Chloe. Chloe's all around?
Yeah.
Okay.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
This game is impossible.
What?
These girls are more alike than I knew, I guess.
I want to be a guest anchor woman. I can def put on a serious face. I want to
so
be a guest anchor woman. I can def put on a serious face.
So Snooki. 100%
def
Snooki.
Definitely, I guess.
I think I'm gonna punch you in the face if it's not Snooki.
I'd put money down on this one being Snooki.
How much?
Here we go again.
Oh, not really, because I cheat.
Lisa, what do you say?
I'm going to go Chloe just because you're going Snooki.
Oh, man. That hurts. Two Snookies and a Chloe.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
All right.
Snooki. That had to be.
All right.
All right, so Bean has two. I have one. Lisa has one.
Okay.
Finally cleaning out my spare room filled with clothes, hats, purses. Donating all of these.
Chloe.
That's she's got too much stuff.
She does, and Snooki would never donate stuff to charity. So Chloe.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off.
She's making me mad.
I guess Snooki would donate, wouldn't she?
Man, we're bad at this.
Yeah, you are.
I broke down today and ordered a chai. Damn, that damn devil. LOL. I broke down today and ordered a chai. I guess chai tea is what she's referring to. That damn devil. LOL.
Damn devil. Again,
Chloe.
I'm going to say Chloe, too, but
I'm going to say Snooki because I think Ralph's reading it because he thinks we'll go Chloe, so I'm going Snooki.
Ooh, he's using psychology
on you. Playing a strategy.
I mean, the problem I'm having here today is that Snooki is not as totally stupid as I think she is. She is surprising me with how rich her life is. So
she's
I mean, compared to what I think of Snooki. I mean, if she's ordering a chai tea, then I don't understand the world anymore. I'm still sticking with Chloe.
She has been exposed to things since her...
Yeah, and they have them at Starbucks, you know. You don't have to go to Thailand to actually get a chai tea anymore.
Means Chloe. Lisa's
I'm still going with Chloe.
I'm Snooki.
Yeah. Okay.
Chloe got herself a chai. I can't believe her resisting ordering anything, by the way.
That's
Chloe.
True.
That seems strange to me.
Mina has three. Lisa has two. I have one.
All right. Here we go. I'm a vampire. Get off of me.
What?
I'm a vampire. Get off of me.
Well, what's going on?
That has to be Snooki because supposedly there's only one person getting on Chloe. Right?
I don't think get off me is a sexual term. I mean, it's like,
leave me alone.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But see, Snooki would never tell anyone to get off her anyway.
That's true.
But who would claim to be a vampire?
I'm a vampire.
What
get off of me.
That's the whole tweet. You didn't leave part out.
That's all. That's everything. That's everything vampire. In one tweet. I'm a vampire. Get off of me.
I'm going to say Snooki.
It's got to be
Snooki. I don't
Snooki.
Know why.
Right. Yeah, I'm with the guys. I don't know why, but I'm going to say Snooki, too.
Okay.
If one thing leads to another, I'm not going to tell them to get off. Right.
It is Snooki.
All right.
I hate copycats. At least give credit where credit is due. LOL. Lame.
We should have been paying attention to who's using all the LOLs, because that was to be a signature move on the Twitter.
I hate copycats. I'm going to go with Chloe.
Me, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Chloe.
All three of us?
Yeah. All right. Time for one more. If Lisa doesn't get this, Bean wins. Come on, Lisa.
All right, here we
go. I've never won, by the way.
Unless this is a two-pointer for me, somehow. I'm way behind.
You throw it from midcourt? If you answer from midcourt, maybe. All right. Somebody pinch me, but not too hard, please. Somebody
Why are these
pinch
sweets...
me, but not too hard, please.
Why are these sweets all so stupid?
I need Snooki. That clip. Somebody pinch me, but not too hard, please. What would she have for somebody to pinch her about? That means, like, my good luck, right?
Usually I have no, that usually, luck. No, it's usually, like, wake me up.
Yeah, it's usually like, wake me up, yeah.
Because I'm dreaming, because everything seems to be going so well, is what I thought.
I guess,
could
yeah.
Be.
I'll say Chloe. I have no
What'd
idea.
You say,
I'm guessing.
I said Snooki.
All right, good.
At least
this
we'll break the tie.
This could be a tie.
Or whatever. Right.
I'm going to go with Chloe.
Chloe.
So Bean has four.
Does that mean he wins?
Lisa has two and I have two.
Yeah. Bean won.
Bean knows Snooki and Chloe better than anyone because
he is
a tweeter just like they are.
That hurts.
They are his people. That's all you need to know.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing. Chloe or Snooki, it's Chloe or Snooki. Both of them are so freaking fat. Yeah.
Let's talk about taking naps. I'm not a napper. I can't even really sleep during the day. I don't know. I just feel like if I'm awake, there's too much to do. How about you guys?
Too much to do.
There's too much to do.
What are you doing?
I'm doing like many people. My life is busier than you would imagine. But I mean, I can't force myself to lay down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and sleep for a half hour, an hour, or whatever. I know some people swear by it.
I used to be able to nap, and now
I have to because I don't sleep well at night. So then it starts catching up. But When you walk into a gym, you expect to see people working out, maybe a yoga class, maybe
basketball.
Pilates, some kind of activity. not in this particular case in North Carolina.
The folks here at Flex and Fit at the Duke Energy Building in Uptown are getting ready for class.
Take a seat. Yep. And then we'll just stretch you out.
Where the only stretching is done in a silken hammock suspended from the ceiling.
Now just relax and take your nap.
Welcome to air napping class, where adults take 30 minutes out of their day to catch some Z's. After their 25 minutes of sleepy time,
I hope everybody enjoyed their nap and have a great day at work.
So how do our little nappers do?
Rejuvenated, relaxed, ready to take on the day.
And this was one of the best naps I've ever taken, and I might have to get one for my home now.
Okay.
So that exists.
That's a real thing that happens.
There's a gym where you go nap at lunch.
We asked producer Dave, filling in for producer Alex, so this person may or may not be on the phone, to light us up, the nap trainer at the Flex and Fit Gym in Charlotte, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, Brock Hardwell joins us here on the Gary Show right now. Mr. Hardwell, hello.
Good morning, fellas. How are you doing?
We're good.
Great. Glad to hear it.
It sounds like there are people sleeping behind.
Yeah, we got a nap class going on right now.
Okay.
Very
okay,
good. Come on, people. Sleep. Let's go. Sleep, people. Let's go. Okay. You can do it.
Mr.
All
Hardwell.
Right, people. Sleep. Push it. Come on.
But shouldn't you be keeping it down a little bit? Aren't you worried about waking them up while they...
I'm a trainer, okay?
Right.
I gotta train these people. They're not gonna do it on their own.
But they're napping.
Come on, people. Let's see those eyes bounce. I want some REM.
Okay.
Let's go. Get some REM sleep there, people. Let's see those eyes move.
All right.
Let's do it. Hey, all your eyes aren't moving. Come on. Push it. Push it, people.
How
Let's
do you
do
push,
it.
How do you push it when you're napping?
You gotta get those eyes moving, man. You need that REM sleep. You gotta get those brain waves really rocking in there. Get some deep sleep. Get some dream action going on. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Mr. Hardwell, our first thought when we saw this story on CNN was that how much training do people need to nap? It's something they've been doing since they were infants.
Hey, listen, I couldn't help it over here when you guys were talking before the intro.
Yes.
Little lady there, she said she can't sleep anymore. Can't nap anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah, because she needs a nap trainer. That's right. It's not easy. Not everyone can just lay down and take a nap. Sometimes you need someone to get you there. And that's what I do. I'm a nap trainer. Come on, people. Feel the Z's. Feel the Z's, baby. Come on.
Are you positive that you're not keeping them awake more than...
No. I'm getting them to a deep set of sleep where they can really recharge, really get rejuvenated. Their bodies need that sleep. They crave it, and that's why I'm here to help them get there.
Now, these air napping
Come
classes.
Come on, snore, people! Push it! Push it with a snore! You're good to
I didn't know napping would be so stressful.
It's not stressful at all. It gives you a sense of calm, gives you a sense of balance. You wake up ready to take on the day. Energize!
All right, now, these air napping classes, are they packed? I mean, do you have a lot of people?
Yeah, we got a full class
you
today.
Do?
It's amazing.
Okay. All right.
It's a great way for us to use the space of the gym. It wouldn't ordinarily be used by people working out, but things have been tough. The economy's rough, so people are ready to come in and learn how to sleep!
Isn't this, Mr. Hardwell, maybe a sign of America's decline that instead of working out, we're just fat asses who are sleeping during the workday?
Hey, listen, sleep actually helps you lose weight, my friends. You actually get a full day of sleep. That'll help your body metabolize that fat. So it's very important to get your sleep just like it is exercise and hydrating. It's a very important part of your everyday workout.
I did not know that, but will you please stop yelling at us?
Come on, people, sleep! I'm not seeing you sleep!
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's your last chance to get the greatest K-Rock sticker of all time. We say with a little irony. At Del Taco, fill out the back register at KROQ.com. By this Friday, you could win a trip to see Coldplay in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. A $1,000 iTunes gift card and a brand new 2012 VW Beetle. How about that? It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Time for the Showbiz Beat now. Ralph Garman joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I start beating the beat, I got tickets to give away. Very special advanced screening of a movie that a lot of us around here at the show are looking forward to, called Drive, starring Ryan Gosling. Also, Christina Hendricks from Mad Men's in the movie.
All right.
Carey Mulligan, Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad, Ron Perlman, Albert Brooks. What a cast. Great premise, too. A Hollywood stunt driver. Moonlights as a wheelman for guys who are pulling off heists. He's the getaway driver. Things go bad with one of the capers, and there is a contract put out on his life. He needs to start running for his life. So,
is it fair, Ralph? Is it fair that he's being targeted?
I don't think it's fair at all.
Huh.
No.
He gets upset, doesn't he?
He does get upset. Yeah. Drive is the name of the movie. If you'd like to see it for anybody else, we've got passes to give away. Free screening on Thursday, September the 15th. You'll see it a day before it's in theaters everywhere on Friday the 16th, so don't feel too bad if you don't win, because you can go see it the next day. Of course, you'll have to pay cash money.
Yeah.
In this particular case, you go on us if you are one of the first two callers at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. You know, the thing about this Drive that bugs me a little bit is the font they use on the poster for the word Drive. Have you seen the poster?
No.
I don't Drive know. Is written in a very odd sort of 1980s cursive.
Okay. That bothers you?
It looks like
is it hard to read?
No, it's just, it's very odd. It's very out of date. Look at that. See how Drive is written in pink there at the bottom of the poster? Looks like something you would see outside of a club in 1982 or something. Some dance club with girls in leg warmers going into. It just seems like an odd choice for an action film to have that font in there.
And it's in pink.
That, yeah, that's something you would write.
Looks like
American
lipstick.
Gigolo should be written in that font or something.
Oh, I see.
Not
I just brought it up. Yeah, yeah, I see what you're talking about there. Yeah.
It's very, it stands out to me when I see that.
We're not
poster.
Fans of the font, but the movie looks great. Yeah,
exactly. Look, can't have everything. Maybe you want to rethink that font, people at Drive.
Maybe too late for that.
Oh, all right. The Playboy Club TV series is happening on NBC this fall. Still getting grief from people. Will people let this go already?
Mm. What now? Who's complaining now?
Now it's the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women. Yes, such an organization exists. The San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women sent a resolution to NBC last month urging the network to pull the show. And instead, I kid you not, this is the quote, replace the program with a series that instead depicts women's substantive achievements. Listen. This is not a documentary.
Correct.
This is a fictional program set in the world of the early 1960s.
And they're hoping to get people to watch.
Right.
Right.
And that's not a slam on women. If they did accomplishments of men, that would not be watched either.
That's right.
And furthermore, not every woman wants to be the Secretary of State. Some women want to be Playboy bunnies.
And regardless of what they want, this is an account of these people's journeys in their lives in the early 60s. That Playboy has nothing to do with you, San Francisco
right.
Women's
right.
Alliance of Power Up with People. This is a fictional story about these characters going through what they go through. So you don't need to worry so much about it. Don't watch it. But they don't have to pull the program and put on a documentary about Harriet Tubman and Susan B. Anthony. Okay?
Excellent point.
We'll all live.
What are you saying?
We'll all live.
I'm saying, when's it on and when can I watch? That's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying it's probably a pretty realistic depiction of what the situation was like in the early 60s for women and men in the workplace.
Can't be told. That story can't be told.
I would like to see a movie about the Civil War where black people are in power and are the president and are free to walk around and are not slaves. I would like to see that movie, but they wouldn't really be a realistic depiction of that particular time period, I'm saying. Holy crap. And by the way,
so you're in favor of the ban?
A lot of women who were Playboy playmates
mm-hmm.
went on to pretty impressive achievements. Gloria Steinem, for example,
mm-hmm.
was a Playboy.
I didn't know that.
Deborah Harry, lead singer of Blondie, model Lauren Hutton, U.S. federal judge Kimba Wood.
Really?
Yes. Made a lot of money as a waitress in a Playboy club. So I'm just saying, they don't necessarily. They're not mutually exclusive. Women can go on to do many great things after having jobs where they look attractive and serve drinks.
And I hope some of them also went on to be whores, though.
Oh,
let's
come
not neglect
on.
That side of the
come
story,
on.
Right?
What is happening? You're not helping.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly,
exactly
what I said, actually. Almost right to my voice verbatim. Thank you for the help there with the audio
uh-huh.
drop.
It's backing you up, man.
The rumors are true. Eddie Murphy will host the 84th Annual Academy Awards. Academy announced in a news release yesterday that Eddie Murphy will be the host of that show. Does that mean good or bad things for us?
There's no one at the Oscars that said...
Overruled!
Yeah, that's a bad idea. It's not a good choice.
I hope that I am wrong
as
with
do
how
I.
Afeared I am of this, but maybe Eddie Murphy is ready to be mainstream funny again without doing it, you know, doing little kids' movies. Maybe he's ready to come back out.
I bet he brings out some talking animals and wears a fat suit.
I hope
that's
not.
I'm
God,
guessing.
I hope not. That's my fear.
I would feel better about it if it wasn't the director that has him in a project that's coming up. Like, that whole thing stinks.
It seems a little incestuous, doesn't it?
But if somebody could pull it off, I mean, he has the pedigree in his far, far past to pull off being funny.
Yeah, in a concert venue setting where he's doing his stand-up.
Right, okay.
But you want him to see him behind a podium making weak jokes about Jack Nicholson wearing sunglasses?
Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't have high hopes for this, but I'm just saying. A 5% chance it'll be good.
You can't be saying because I'm just saying.
All right.
And Regis Philbin has announced the date he'll be leaving his daytime talk show with Kelly Ripa, Live with Regis and Kelly.
Please don't let this happen. Please don't let Regis leave my TV.
November the 18th is the date. After that, no more Regis.
Wow, well, Regis is going away and the post office is going away. Oh. What is Bean going to have to live for?
Can you imagine a world where Pluto's not a planet, the post office is closed, and Regis doesn't have a daily talk show?
The entire world is saying, no, Bean.
Everything you like is wrong.
The only thing that keeps me going is that Jerry Lewis is still on the NBA television.
No,
that's it.
No,
that's the only thing I got
left.
No,
he wasn't on this year. He's no longer on that show.
Don't!
Oh, and then Barry Manilow and Weird Al have a weird suicide pact. They have some sort of they find them in a gay tryst in a hotel, and they both have died of autoerotic asphyxiation.
This is funny because you love Weird Al, but you're willing to let that happen.
I'll sacrifice Weird Al to make Bean unhappy.
To make him crumble.
Absolutely, sure, whatever it takes.
All right. You guys are happy to see my world just collapsing around me, right?
Oh, it's the best.
It really is great.
Best thing ever.
It's satisfying.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Emerson of Lost and a brand new series he's doing with his buddy J.J. Abrams called Persons of Interest.
That looks great.
Forward to that, yeah.
Yeah.
When does Jim Caviezel.
When does that start? Later this month?
Yeah, end of September, I believe. Can't it wait. Starts again. He is 57 years old today. Corbin Burnson, very talented actor who was on L.A. Law for many seasons and over there on Psych. He's 57 as well. Tom Everett Scott from That Thing You Do. And Southland, most recently, 41 years old. Shannon Elizabeth is 38 years old. Actor Devon Sawa is 33. Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 24th birthday. Seems to me like Evan Rachel Wood has been an actress for my entire lifetime.
And she's been this age for our entire
And she's
lifetime.
Only 24. I think she was like 11 when she started. So she's been around in the business for a long, long time. 24 years old today. And Chrissy Hynde, lead singer of the legendary band The Pretenders, celebrates her 60th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Come on, man. I'm not alone.
That was pretty nice. That was good.
Kevin Ryder on the, hey.
106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. It's 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Had an interesting chat yesterday with Nick Swardson here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's one of the guys behind that Bucky Larson movie that's opening up on Friday. Very funny guy, comedian, writer. And he told us about a wild night that he had recently, a night of drinking, where he woke up. Well, we'll let Nick tell you the story from yesterday's show.
I woke up at my apartment. It was like 4 in the morning. And I look next to me, and there's a rabbi sitting on my couch.
What?
A rabbi. What? And we're watching Avatar.
Wait, this is you're talking about you had a dream. This happened in a dream.
This what happened to me. I went into, I drank and blacked out, and then I don't know what happened. I was at a karaoke bar, and then I woke up at my place, and there's a rabbi sitting on my couch next to me.
And you're watching Avatar.
He woke me up, and he goes, "Hey, man, I'm going to take off." I'm like, "Okay."
You didn't recognize him at all?
You had no idea who he was.
Had no idea. And I've woken up. I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff, but that was the most random thing ever.
So
that's weird, right?
Did you hear Bean's reaction in that clip?
He went,
like he said, a tarantula was next to me on the couch when I woke up.
Well, it's just you wake up and there's anybody in your house that you don't know, and you have no memory whatsoever of even meeting the person the night before or coming back to your house. No. I would imagine that would be fairly shocking. I'm sure it's happened to you many times, Ralph.
I think that was an anti-Semitic. That's what I'm saying.
No,
a Jew is in your house. That's what Bean meant.
not at all.
How many rabbis are frequenting the karaoke bars? By the way, I don't know how that came about.
Maybe he was a cantor. Maybe he wasn't a rabbi.
Could be.
Yeah.
Oh.
I've woken up in many odd situations after being blasted drunk. But the oddest one for me, I think, still to this day, was in college when I was playing a college party with my band. I was on the drums, and we were playing a outdoor party in the backyard at a house off campus. And I remember being behind the drums, and I had I couldn't get up to drink to enjoy the party. So a friend of mine brought me a bottle of mezcal, which is like tequila, but it's got the worm in the bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember pulling off of that just straight out of the bottle while I was drumming. And I remember the end of our last set, and I remember me tipping the bottle back so that the worm would drop all the way down into the neck so I could eat it.
Right.
And then the next thing I remember was morning. The sun hitting my face, and I woke up, and I was nude on the roof of the house where we were playing.
All right.
Wrapped only in a sheet, clutching my drumsticks in my hand.
You wouldn't let those go. Those weren't drumsticks.
They were drumsticks. I was naked, wrapped in a sheet, on the roof of the building. And no one can place me between the last song that we played and that moment.
And
no one knows what happened to me. I asked around, and no one could fill in the blanks for me.
Wow.
Sweet.
And was it a hangover-style investigation from that point on to try to find witnesses that could
fill it? I tried, and no one had any. I don't remember seeing you after we stopped playing. I don't know where you were.
Maybe
you
just went up first thing. And
maybe.
Look at the stars. I don't
or
know.
Maybe I murdered somebody.
Could be.
Why was I nude? I had to burn my clothes because there was blood all over them. That's what I'm guessing.
We're going
to
take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. You woke up to a surprise, and it it almost 100% involves alcohol.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't actually black out. Like, I have pieces that I can still remember. You know, like, I've never had a period of time missing where my body keeps going and I'm doing stuff, but I don't remember anything about it.
But there have been a lot of times, Kevin, even recently, where you have found out after the fact the next day that you made phone calls or had conversations with people that you didn't remember anything about. You didn't remember seeing them or going to a place or anything
tweeting,
like that.
Or tweeting. Texting.
Like in Chicago,
but I mean,
right?
Yeah. But I remember pieces. You know what I mean? Like, I remember certain parts of it. I never have a complete blackout.
Yeah. Right.
But still, even knowing pieces, like when I went to Vegas for the World Series of Poker, there was that Electric Daisy Festival, and I was at 3 a.m. I was out at some raceway seeing Tiesto. Mm-hmm. Like, I can sort of remember that. I don't remember exactly how I got there or anything, but at least I have pieces a little bit.
But you could very easily have passed out when you got back to the hotel room and had a zebra or something in your room, and you would not have known how it got there.
I can't answer that. It's possible.
What I'm saying. It could have happened.
It's possible.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. The strangest thing you woke up to and could not explain. Listen to this from our listener Fred in Anaheim. He says, I heard you were going to have a call-in topic on waking up to unexplained events. I will be at work and unable to call in, but I thought you would enjoy this story. I went to a house party near my home in Anaheim one time, and I woke up the next morning in a motel room with two girls I had never met near downtown San Diego.
What?
Wow. Almost 100 miles away. Both the girls and myself were fully dressed. I'm not sure what, if anything, happened between us. I got out of there before either of them woke up. I was lucky in this instance for two reasons. One is I'd been to San Diego before, so at least when I stepped outside the motel, I could recognize where I was.
All right.
And two, I had a friend down there who owed me $200, and I told him if he drove down and picked me up, we'd be even. So I had a ride home. My car was still at the house in Anaheim where the party was. No one can remember when or how I left or ended up going to San Diego.
Wow.
That's so awesome.
How's that for a mystery 100 miles away?
But to go all the way to San Diego with two chicks and not know if anything happened.
Come on. That seems like a waste of opportunity.
I would have to wake them up before I left. So, who are you and what did we do?
Was I good? Anything.
All right. So that's the kind of story we're looking for, just like Fred's. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on The Kevin. Thanks for calling. You're not even calling. You're listening to The Kevin and Beans Show here on a Wednesday. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voice is on the way. Also, a brand new Beans Death Corner. Right now, though, talking about you blacked out. You woke up. You can't believe what you think happened to you or what was going on around you that you have no memory of how you got into that position. 1-800-520-1067. We got too many calls here. This is pretty sweet. Why don't we try with, let's try Jesse on line 4 to kind of get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jesse, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on, man. What happened?
Hey, what's up, guys? So really quick, I was a student up in Chico State University, and I decided to hang out with some guys out there, including some Italians. And after a couple of drinks in my system, I started talking crap about Ferraris. I'm a big car guy, and I guess after a few more drinks, both Italians I was hanging out with decided to do something, which was give me more beer and alcoholic beverages.
Sure.
The next morning, I woke up in Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills, where they sell these Ferraris, and I had a sign on my chest that said, Italians only make good meatballs and not Ferraris.
So they took you to Beverly Hills to a Ferrari dealership and dumped you off there?
Exactly. I don't know who did it. I'm guessing it was those Italians I was hanging out with, but I really don't remember who it was or who drove me there.
Well,
but,
they were driving a Ferrari, and you made fun of Ferraris. I'm guessing that's a pretty good bet.
Probably, yeah. Well, the worst part is I got my butt kicked by the owner because, he called the LAPD, and they said there was a wino in front of his business.
Right.
Upstream sales, and I got the ticket for indecent exposure.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so...
I like
it. And no, very poorly told, but thank you for the story, Jesse. We appreciate that. So no memory of getting from Chico State all the way to Beverly Hills where you wake up the next morning. Let's try Christy, line 8. Hi, Christy. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Where'd you wake up?
I woke up in a complete stranger's house on their couch.
Sweet!
Oh, man.
Now, I'm sure you had so many questions once your eyes opened and you realized you were in unfamiliar circumstances. Who am I here with? How did I get here? What happened last night? Am I chained to this couch? Will I be allowed to leave? What'd you do?
Well, first I woke up, went to the bathroom, then decided to switch couches. I figured I'm already missing my 8 a.m. class, so screw it. Then I see this guy in the hallway, and I ask him, where am I? And this girl pops out, and she's like, well, you were sitting on my curb, or not my curb, like my patio. And I asked you if you're okay, and I guess I shrug, yeah, I'm fine. And then she said she went in the house. 2 seconds later, I started banging on her door. She said she was so afraid that she just let me in and let me crash.
That would have been the opposite of what I would have done. If I'm afraid of you, I'm not going to let you in. So did you know her or did you not know her?
I didn't know her. It's like I went eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I was in Isla Vista in Santa Barbara, and I guess I just picked that patio to sit on because I didn't realize how to get home.
Sweet. Amazing. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Liz, another drunk chick. God, I love drunk chicks so much. She's on line 5. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, Liz?
Hey, guys. I woke up on my friend's couch, and I covered myself in newspapers, I guess, like, my homeless instincts had kicked in. I got cold through the night and put newspapers and fast food wrappers all over myself to keep warm.
Okay.
And I barfed in my backpack with all my books and everything.
Oh!
God.
And no memory of any of it, right?
No, I mean, I asked my friends, I was like, did you guys cover me up? And they were like, no, you totally did that to yourself. We would have given you a blanket. So.
Hey, at least you were in somebody's house that you knew. That's an improvement.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's try Josh, line 4. Let's head south of the border. Josh, you're in Cancun, Mexico. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, hi, guys.
Hi.
So I took a buddy of mine to Cancun, Mexico, right after we graduated high school. It's kind of like a graduation present. And the first night we were there, our hotel's all inclusive, which means all the drinks you can handle.
Right.
So, long story short, after some time after we left the club, I passed out. He took off. I woke up in a planter bed outside the wrong hotel, with no shirt, no shoes, no money, no ID, no hotel key, no nothing.
All right.
Now, a bellboy for that hotel was standing over me, saying, senor, you can't sleep here. And that guy gave me 65 cents, or however many pesos that is, to take the bus 2 hours back to my hotel.
Oh, my God. 2 hours away in a planter bed with no shirt, no shoes, no ID. That's crazy. Did you ever figure out how you got there or what happened?
Absolutely not. But I did find out when I walked into the hotel room and walked into my buddy's room, he was in bed with 2 blonde girls.
Oh, he wins so much.
Insult to injury there.
He wins so much and you lose. Did you stop drinking? Here's the question we should have asked everybody. Did you stop drinking?
Oh, no. That was the first night.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Is it true that this is the final season of Celebrity Rehab for the nearby, as far as we can see, into the soon-to-be future?
That was a moment with Bean.
It is the world-famous K-Rock at 737.
I don't know why anyone continues to listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, but we do appreciate it. And it is time for an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
Not yet. Now it is. Mug says not yet.
All right, here we go.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
It's not that I love death.
Yes,
it's that
is.
I pre-ordered the new Final Destination 5 movie, and I can't wait for it to come out on DVD so I can watch it every single
day.
Here's
what you need to know about Bean. He's got a Google alert for the obituaries in the New York Times.
Well, of course I do. Who doesn't?
All people.
Here's a bizarre and tragic story out of my state of Washington, Edgewood, a Seattle suburb in the news. And by the way, you can see more on all of these stories, see photos and video in some cases at kevinandbean.com. We do put each of the death corners on the line for you, too. Edgewood, Washington is where it happens. A 17-year-old goes to visit his uncle just last Friday night, Kevin, and he sees that his uncle is involved in an altercation in the front yard. There's a guy trying to hit this boy's uncle in the head with a pipe. So the 17-year-old says, no, not here you don't. So he runs over there, pulls out a knife, and stabs the dude to death who's in an altercation with his uncle. That man, ladies and gentlemen, who he killed, turned out to be his own father.
it was very dark out. The police said it was difficult to see. They had been estranged from one another. The boy did not recognize his own father as the one who was in a fight with his brother and ended up killing him. How about that? Is that crazy?
Wow.
How's that for
so
bad surprise up. After the fact, right? Now we take you into the air. This is a tragic story about a beautiful young couple that had been living in Singapore. He was from New Zealand. He had met his girlfriend in Singapore. They'd been dating for about 3 years, and he was taking her back to New Zealand to meet his family, in fact, to help celebrate his mom's 50th birthday. Well, on the plane, in the air, about 90 minutes into the flight, they're flying on Jetstar when they come around with the in-flight meal, and the man gets the beef. You should never get the beef. You always get the chicken. That's the moral of this story.
That is the tip.
He starts choking, and he dies on the flight with his girlfriend sitting next to him. I thought he was laughing very hard. Then I looked at his face, and his eyes were rolling, and he couldn't talk. His lips were turning purple, she later said.
Oh.
A doctor and two nurses on board quickly rushed to help after hearing her scream for help. They performed CPR on him but were unable to save him. The doctor came to me and said he was so sorry he did his best. Now, they're 2 hours into an 11-hour flight at this point over the ocean. By the way, it's not like there's an easy way to turn around and go back or something like that.
She doesn't have to sit next to him.
They took the body and covered it in a sheet and put it in the galley, but she said she didn't want him back there by himself under a sheet, and she requested that they bring him back and put him in the seat next to her where she sat next to his corpse for 9 hours as they made it to New Zealand.
That's sweet of her, but everyone else around had to be going, hey, galley for me. I'm good with that. I don't need him dead guy there.
Yeah, that's no good. And by the way, I was thinking about this. If you had talked them into turning around and going back to Singapore, you still then would have had to take the body probably and fly it home to New Zealand where he was from to be with his family and be buried there, right? So you might as well take advantage of the free air travel to get the body home at this point.
I am shocked you can't save a choking victim.
That's a great point.
I'm shocked there's a doctor and two nurses on a flight. And they could do nothing.
Yeah, it seemed like they had a lot of things going in their favor, but it didn't work out. He was only 31 years old, too, by the way, which is very sad. Here's a story out of Parsons, Tennessee this time. I don't know what the details were that drove this guy so crazy about the seating arrangements as the father of the bride was helping to plan his little daughter's upcoming wedding. But apparently he got into a fight with the pastor of the church.
What?
He lunged toward the pastor. The pastor pushed the man and he fell and hit his head on the pavement and later died at the Vanderbilt Medical Center. Now, here's the ethical question involved here, Lisa. You're the bride. Your dad just died bitching about the seating arrangements. Do you go on with the wedding? And if you do, do you use the same pastor? Or is it at this point, it's just too uncomfortable to be in the same room with the guy?
I think you'd find a new pastor a new church.
You'd have to find a new pastor. I mean, yeah. Definitely. But if the dad is arguing over the seating arrangements at your wedding.
But why is the pastor arguing over the seating arrangements?
I don't think you're that upset about it.
I just, I don't know. It does put a black mark on what otherwise could have been a beautiful day, though, because poor old dad is not there to walk you down the aisle. Here's a tragic story that almost didn't make it into Bean's Death Corner. A 21-year-old motorcyclist in Brooklyn was involved in an accident. I guess a 70-year-old woman, Kevin, you'll appreciate this, was driving a Taurus. She ran a red light and ran into the motorcycle guy and pinned him on the ground.
What a surprise.
But as old people do. But fortunately, emergency personnel were nearby, and they were able to come and lift the car off of the motorcyclist. Unfortunately, before they were able to pull the man out from under the car, somebody goofed. They slipped. The car fell back down and crushed him to death.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
A witness said the car was about 4 feet up, then it just dropped right back down right on top of him. Everybody in the crowd screamed. So missed it by that much.
Geez.
And finally, we take you to Pittsburgh, where the Steelers are the big thing. The Steelers preseason has already begun. Of course, the NFL season begins tomorrow night. They're playing against Atlanta this past Saturday night. Charles McGauley was at the game when he got word that his father had a heart attack and died. His father, by the way, Charles McGauley Sr., was 83 years old, had a heart attack and died. So the man and his wife quickly left the Steelers preseason game. And by the way, that's a shock to me. Steelers fans are pretty diehard. I'm surprised that he would leave the game, because at this point, his dad's already dead. What could he do,
and he's
right?
He's 83.
Yeah, he was 83, right. So 54-year-old Charles leaves the game with his wife to go to dad's home to comfort mom. Well, he has a heart attack on his way to see his dead father. What? He also drops dead on the way to see dad. Father and son died an hour and 7 minutes apart.
And then everyone else at Three River Stadium, or whatever it's called, died of heart attacks.
No, that didn't happen. Oh. But what are the chances that both of them died in the same night? What a bummer for that family, too.
Oh, yeah, way to cheer up mom, dude.
I mean, the only thing that would make it okay is if the Steelers ended up winning that game. I didn't see the result of the game against Atlanta. But this has been an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Ralph, coming up right after the top of the hour.
Woohoo!
I'm going to be so glad when Bean is dead. After listening to that last segment, because then he'll be with what he loves.
He wants us to do a very special death corner.
We will be able to rejoice when he's dead, because we're saying, you know what? He is where he loved to be.
He's with his people.
Surrounded by death. That's right. Where he always wanted to be, and now he's there.
It's a strange obsession.
How do we hasten that? How do we move that along? What do we have to do?
I just worry that I'm going to die just like asleep in my bed overnight. That's my biggest fear.
That's everyone's dream, by the way.
But I'm going to die and not make a great story out of it. I want to be on Death Corner. I want to be on Kevin's Death Corner, the new feature that debuts the day after I die.
Yeah, yet there will still be great celebration, even if you die a very boring death. Trust me, it'll still be marked and celebrated. It will become a yearly holiday, trust me. Don't worry about it.
And by the way, you don't do anything interesting. How do you expect to die interesting?
Right. How else are you going to go? It's going to be couch or bed. Those are your only two options.
You're not going to be skydiving. Nothing cool.
I could get kicked in the head by a donkey. That could happen. That would be awesome, right?
That would be awesome, actually.
Okay, yeah. So just hold out hope. All right, let's move on. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on today?
I would love Bean to be eaten by his barnyard animals, the animals he refused to eat all of his life. The irony of the animals eating him would be so rich.
But he also refuses to believe us that his animals are miserable in his presence and are trying to commit suicide themselves.
If they trampled him and then ate him would be the greatest way for him to go out.
You want me to be the first ever death by lamb.
Yes.
That's what you're hoping for.
I want a sheep just to gnaw your heart out of your chest. That's what I want to have happen.
Elizabeth, no!
Before, your sheep's name is Elizabeth?
No, don't ask.
It's a royal thing.
I'll bet
thing.
It's after Queen Elizabeth.
Yep.
Well, it is, actually. I have a Philip, too, so. Back to you, Ralph.
Just move on.
Before I get to showbiz news, there I do have go. Some more passes to give away for our very special advanced screening of Drive.
Yay!
Action thriller starring Ryan Gosling playing a Hollywood stunt man who moonlights as a wheelman. For heists. He is the getaway car driver. Contract gets put on his life after a caper goes wrong. Carey Mulligan co-stars Bryan Cranston, Ron Perlman, Christina Hendricks, Albert Brooks. Great, great cast. So if you'd like to see it before anybody else, you can call now. 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through. We'll get a pair of passes for our screening, which is Thursday, September the 15th. It's in theaters everywhere. Friday, September the 16th. You can go to drivemovie.com, by the way, for more details if you want to check it out. I'm really looking forward to this movie. Still not crazy about the font, but really there's nothing I can do about that at this point, I think. It's official. Eddie Murphy is going to be the host of the 84th Annual Academy Awards. Academy announced it yesterday in a press release. In a not unrelated story, Brett Ratner, who is producing the show, directed Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy in a new movie that's coming out called Tower Heist on November the 4th. Couldn't hurt to have a little press surrounding Eddie Murphy when your movie's coming out in November, I reckon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That smacks a little desperate. But he might pull it off. Come on, guys.
Okay.
I want it to be good.
He could, right?
Look,
save this tape for me. I'm going to need this come February.
I'm not saying he will. I'm saying he could.
I have more hope for Eddie Murphy making an interesting Oscars than I ever did for James Franco.
All right.
So I hope it's an improvement.
We were right about James Franco, too.
Yeah.
Comeback of the year has to come to Chris Tucker. He has been off the radar for years.
He's always off the radar until he does that movie series, and then he just goes back underground somewhere.
His last movie was Rush Hour 3, which he did in 2007. Took a break from acting, and now he's back in two movies. Variety announced yesterday that he will be in a movie called Silver Linings Playbook with Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro, and a comedy called Neighborhood Watch with Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and Jonah Hill. Glad to see Ben Stiller's working.
That is good.
Yeah. He's currently wrapping up a stand-up tour that runs through November, but then he's getting back to movies. So Chris Tucker fans have a reason to rejoice.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Also working on two movies is Arnold Schwarzenegger. His first movie, The Last Stand, is that Western we've been talking about where he'll play the sheriff.
Yes.
Of a sleepy little town who runs up against a escaped drug cartel leader heading for the Mexican border.
I can't imagine a worse casting.
No, it's laughable.
I mean, really,
just
what
the concept
think?
Of him in a cowboy hat wearing a sheriff's badge is so spectacular.
Because there are a lot of people who have accents that can make them go away on command.
Mm-hmm.
He's not one of them.
No, he's not. No. And the Governator will also be starring in Sly Stallone's The Expendables 2, sequel to the popular Expendables film.
Now, that makes sense.
Schwarzenegger had a cameo in the first one. He'll be coming back in a larger role in the second edition of that film franchise. Bruce Willis, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Chuck Norris all joining the cast as well.
So. Was that first movie good, you guys?
I enjoyed the crap out of it. In a very sort of nostalgic, cheesy, fun kind of way.
Yeah, I don't think you would like it, Bean. But for those of us that like that genre and wanted to like it, it was good.
It was cool to see all those guys in the same movie, right?
Yeah, and the film itself was very action-packed, and it was a fun little story.
Sure.
I wonder if Steven Seagal will come into this one. Remember, he famously passed on the last one. I wonder if he'll come back.
No word, but apparently he's too busy running over roosters and shooting dogs. So he's got a full plate.
Training MMA fighters.
And everyone sort of scratched their head when Chyna Phillips came out of retirement, announced that she was going to be on Dancing with the Stars. She, of course, was the lead singer of the popular band Wilson Phillips that had some hits in the 80s. Well, now we know why.
She's got a new album?
Nope.
Nope.
The newly announced The Wilson Phillips Project reality show. Press release dropped yesterday. Carney Wilson, Wendy Wilson, and Chyna Phillips will be starring in a reality show about the return of Wilson Phillips and how they're trying to make their way back into the music business.
Well, the music business, if I could speak for it, has missed them.
Yes, they have. They've been sitting around waiting. Look, do we want to record this artist? No. We have to save some studio time in case Wilson Phillips comes out of retirement. I do not want to miss out on that opportunity.
Everybody's got their fingers crossed.
So now we know why she's Dancing with the Stars.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 60 years old today. Are The Pretenders still together? I haven't heard anything about The Pretenders in a long, long time.
I'm not sure they're still alive, let alone together.
I bet they still tour.
They do. Yeah, they do still tour, and occasionally they come out with a record. She's also been exploring music with other musicians of late as well.
There you go. There's your Pretenders update. Michael Emerson. What a talented actor.
Yes.
From Lost and the soon-to-be-seen Persons of Interest on CBS this fall with Jim Caviezel. He is 57 years old today. Corbin Burnson is 57 as well. Tom Everett Scott celebrates his 41st birthday. Shannon Elizabeth is 38. Devon Sawa celebrates his 33rd birthday. And Evan Rachel Wood is 24 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We have one of Ralph's people coming up in an hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I mean, he's almost identical to Ralph. He's like Ralph.
Hey.
What? He's a comic book geek who's trying to make it in the wild and wonderful world of entertainment. He's got a movie out called Heroic Ambition. We'll talk to our friend Scott Cranford next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I think I put him a notch above Ralph.
Well, it's great that someone came along and made a documentary about Scott. I think, you know, it's someone that was obviously interested enough in his career and what he does to make a documentary.
Was it Soderbergh or who? I can't remember
who was the one.
Spielberg was
the writer and director who came along and said, I want to make a documentary about this guy.
Scott made his own documentary.
About himself.
That's right.
Oh, I see.
Oh, who knew?
Oh, that's interesting.
Hey, let's do the Wheel of Bad Animal Wishes. We have a lot of stories.
Let's do anything else.
Too many stories to
handle. Let's ask Bean about his day. That's how I feel about this bit. That's what I'd rather do.
We put them all on the wheel.
Let's see how Bean's animals are. Let's hear about Elizabeth and when she's getting sheared.
This is the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It blows.
What animals might it land on today before you spin here?
Well, we have the heavy metal Aussie great white sharks.
Oh, I hope it lands on that.
Stop
I've been dying to talk to him.
We have the world's wooliest sheep in heaven.
Yes, we do.
We have.
I'm going to rip that right
Hitler,
off.
The cat who looks like Hitler.
See, these are all just punchlines. Not even stories. They're just punchlines.
What about the South Korean glow-in-the-dark beagle?
See, that's just a punchline.
That's not a punchline.
That's not even anything you want to know more about.
You have to have one question about that.
How?
That's the question.
Why would you want to talk to her? That's my
slutty
question.
Horses with herpes. We have the dumpster diving hermit bear.
I think it's hobo. I think it's hobo bear, not a hermit bear.
Couldn't read it.
He doesn't live by himself and not talk to other bears.
We have the drunk moose stuck in an apple tree. We have Yvonne the fugitive cow.
I think we have to take Yvonne out. Yvonne turned herself in this week. Yvonne came back to the farm that she had escaped from and turned herself in this week. So we have to pull that.
He knows that by heart. He knows he had the update on the story.
We have the Toledo flag stealing squirrel. The giant chocoholic fish, the two-headed snake at odds with itself.
Stop
so
saying
all of those
two-headed
great,
snake at odds
great
with
stories.
Itself.
Let's spin the wheel and
Let's
find out what we're going to follow up on and get some more information on.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
On the new one.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right, spin the wheel. Find out who we're going to be calling here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It's the drunk moose stuck in an apple tree.
You
How do you suck. Not have questions about a drunk moose stuck in an apple tree? Moose don't climb trees.
Where are you going, Ralph?
It's
Come on.
Moose. It's a moose climb. How does he not have questions about this?
I don't know. I don't know why he doesn't want to be in the room when we get the moose on the phone. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Apparently what happens is that this moose has been eating apples that are fermented. And he gets drunk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they fall on the ground or they die on the tree. And they start to ferment a little bit and kind of turn into alcohol. You get a little bit of a buzz off of them if you eat them once they're somewhat spoiled. I understand that, sure.
So this moose seems to get enough of a buzz that he wants more. So he starts climbing the tree and then he gets stuck. A giant moose stuck in an apple tree.
I would like to see that.
So this is, I guess, in a Stockholm suburb. So we go to Sweden now, and I believe we have an authority on the line with an update on the moose stuck in the tree. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you doing?
Okay, thank you. You're an expert in this story about the moose in the tree?
No, I'm not the expert about this story. I'm actual muse.
Oh, you're the muse?
I'm the muse.
So you're in a suburb of Stockholm called Gothenburg. Do we have that right?
No, I'm in a tree.
You're in a tree, okay.
I'm not familiar with the name of the cities because I'm a muse. Don't read maps or nothing.
Sure.
Okay. But you do speak English, which I think is impressive because you probably speak Swedish as well, right?
I do speak several languages, so English and Swedish are among them, yes.
And you have a cell phone.
No, I'm borrowing it from a friend.
I see. So the story that we got here in America is that you became drunk while eating fermented apples, then found yourself stuck in a tree while trying to climb higher and higher to get more fruit.
Yes, this is problem when you're stuck in tree with boozy apples.
Right.
You're been there for that reason, and then you're stuck in a tree surrounded by more of them, and so you just continue to eat them. And now I am a drunker than I've ever been. And can't find way out of trees. It's a conundrum.
Yes, it is. Now, it's got to be awfully embarrassing when the authorities have to be called to help get you down from the tree, right? That's not how any self-respecting moose wants to wake up.
It is very embarrassing, yes, but moose is even more embarrassed for other muses to see him.
Oh, sure.
For they have all seen somehow to avoid being stuck in trees. And yet I am a helpless stuck in tree with boozy apples.
Does this make it more difficult to get the female moose?
It does.
Okay.
Because you look like fuel. And
fuel.
A fuel, yes.
Full.
Oh,
right.
Full.
And they're not too keen on having your moosiness in them.
Yes, I understand. Yeah.
However,
well, no.
It does make you more attractive to certain male muses who like to sneak up behind and play hide the antler, if you know what I'm saying.
I see.
And you can't go anywhere.
No, I'm stuck in three, drunk in apple tree, stuck. Helpless for game uses.
Wow.
Okay. Well, be very, very careful. We don't want to hear anything happen to you out there, Mr. Moose.
It is not so bad, I got to tell you.
Oh, really?
After a couple apples, you don't seem to mind who you hook up with.
I see. All right. Well, there's a silver lining here. Thank you.
Yes, goodbye for you now.
Okay. Hey, party people. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I know that Kevin's eyes are going to roll back in his head because I'm about to say a word that he hates, and it is politics. This is only tangentially related to politics. Although, Kevin, you're going to have to admit soon we're going to be in 2012, and it's going to be in a presidential election year. There's not going to be anything you can do about it, and it is going to be important to start paying attention and talking about politics.
But is it 2012 right now?
At this, today.
Kevin, politics has never been more interesting than it is right now.
That's actually true.
Because it is filled with lunatics.
It is filled with loons. Yeah, that's true.
And that has just never been the case. You get the one-off occasionally to make things interesting. But now it's just chock full with just bat-ass crazy people.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a freak show now. It's not like the American people have to decide between John Adams or James Madison. That's not where we're at right now. You get Michelle Bachmann with her crazy eyes, and you got Rick Perry, who is just driving me crazy this week because he's just vaulting way out in front in the polls for the Republicans. And there's a Republican debate tonight in Los Angeles. I mean, we're very close to finding out who the nominee is going to be.
I could go to that debate. That would be awesome.
You probably could.
That would be awesome. No.
But look, I don't care about Rick Perry or his name or his politics. Here's what fascinates me about Rick Perry. And I got into quite a little bit of a Twitter and email war with Kevin and Bean listeners yesterday over this.
You do not want to get in a Twitter/email war with Bean.
He will win
by attrition. You'll just want to kill yourself.
I tweeted that I couldn't understand why he wasn't automatically off the table as a serious person, not even a candidate, but as a serious person, if in 2011 he still doesn't believe evolution is real. Okay, to me, that's a deal breaker. To me, that's a critical thinking fail. If you don't understand that evolution is proven, that one has been buttoned up, that one is decided.
So you're saying that to you is make it or break it. Once you hear that, you're out.
It's not only make or break it as a candidate for president. It's make it or break it as a human, because you at that point are not able to process actual facts. You really cannot exist in this world if you can't understand evolution is real at this point.
Pardon me, sir. It's a theory.
It's not a theory. Stop saying that. Everyone who says it's a theory, go to your dictionary, look up the difference between scientific theory and philosophical theory.
Nope.
And then you'll stop saying it's just a theory, like somebody just made a guess and like, oh, this is what I think.
Like
it's
somebody
not.
As drunk as I am just made that
There's
guess.
There's science. There are proofs and proven facts. It's empirical evidence when it comes to a scientific theory.
To me, not believing, and it's not even a question to believe. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It's true. It already exists. It already happened. It's already happening. It's real. Evolution is a fact, okay? Whether you accept evolution or not, to me, is like the people who decide that they're not going to accept that man walked on the moon just because they don't want to.
Just because
they can't figure out how it happened, or they distrust the government so much to believe that they made it up, they somehow refuse to believe we walked on the moon. That's the same crowd to me who can't comprehend evolution.
No, it's worse than that, Bean, because if someone landed on the moon, you could say did or didn't happen. But you are choosing, if you say evolution didn't exist, you're choosing the other option, which is, listen, a big invisible guy took two people and plopped them down in the middle of a magical forest. And then a snake talked to them and they ate a piece of fruit and they had to leave the magic forest. I believe that more than I believe years and years of scientific evidence saying that animals and creatures evolve over time. That's my choice.
I wondered if Governor Perry really believes that there's no evolution, or if he's saying that to energize his base of religious people who believe and interpret the Bible literally. I wonder how much of this is politics and how much of this is real. Because he seems like a smart guy. I find it hard
what
to believe he really doesn't
believe. He seems like a smart guy.
Just because he seems, anyone who can tie his shoes and drive ought to be smart enough to understand that evolution is real. Okay, so he seems past that. But then, and here's the reason I really wanted to
tie my shoes and drive.
Here's the reason. That's a good point.
All right.
Here's the reason I really wanted to talk to listeners about this today. Again, this has nothing to do with politics. I don't want people punching out because they think it's a liberal versus conservative thing. It's not. I read in this article that mentions the Rick Perry statements this week where he talked about evolution is just a theory with gaps and he doesn't know if it should happen. We should definitely teach creationism in schools like they do in Texas. A 2009 Gallup poll study says, Ralph, you sitting down?
Yes.
Only 38% of Americans say they believe in evolution.
Well, if that's the case, maybe they're right. Because by now, we should have evolved to a point where more people in America than that should believe it.
If 62% of Americans do not believe in evolution, we must have hundreds of thousands of them listening to our show right now. We need to hear from some of them and try to understand how it's possible to not believe in evolution at this point.
That's
a stunning statistic, isn't it?
Wow.
It's like de-evolution.
I am fascinated. And I know you're out there. I heard from plenty of you yesterday saying, I don't believe in evolution. I don't know why that should be a deal breaker with a president. I don't believe in evolution at all.
Your days are so different than mine, B. You know what I did yesterday? None of that. No arguing about evolution and politics.
I don't know this morning. I do not believe in gravity. Because it is just a theory. It is just a theory, and I do not believe necessarily that gravity exists. So I'm just going to fly away now.
Bye. All right, the phones are lighting up. I am very excited. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. So, you do not believe in evolution. You are in the vast majority of Americans. Please help me understand why I'm wrong and you're right. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We got evolution on our minds today. Rick Perry is the front runner for the Republican nomination for the presidency next year. He doesn't believe in evolution. He says it's a theory that's out there, Ralph, with a bunch of gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But they also asked him how old he thought the Earth was, which right. is another kind of hand in hand. The people who believe that the world is millions of years old, which has been proven by fact, and the people who literally translate the Bible and say, it's about 5,000 or 6,000 years old.
Yes.
Rick Perry's answer was, we don't really know how old the Earth is.
That's not true, Rick.
Nobody really knows that.
Yeah, we do. We do know.
Apparently not.
A pretty good idea.
You have a theory?
No, it's a pretty good idea. Via carbon dating and other scientific techniques have been empirically proven.
So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Keeping it away from politics, but we want to talk to you if you're among the 62% in the recent Gallup poll that don't believe evolution is real. We want to find out why. Why don't we try Mike on line 5 to get us going here. Mike, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on, dude?
What's going on? I think you got your facts a little bit confused here. Your confusion is whether evolution is actually a science versus how we got here. It's actually two different theories.
Okay.
So in other words, you're willing to accept evolution in terms of animals changing and evolving from one thing into another thing, but your big question is what began the whole process to begin with, right?
Yeah, and that's what you guys are saying. It's like, oh, we came from the primordial ooze. And I said, well, that's a theory. Okay, the idea of we came from these single cell organisms that was spontaneously created by proteins interacting with some weird chemical reaction is about as theoretical as somehow a higher being came to this planet. And you can put God to the name if you want. Okay, but somehow we got here in a different way.
So you're not arguing the Big Bang Theory.
So you're fine with evolution. You just don't know what got it started.
Well, yeah, and that's what I hear from your arguments. I mean, when people are arguing whether evolution is a theory, that's when they say it's a theory. I mean, not whether, the moose with the big horns actually, maybe that moose's head was just one gigantic horn at one time. I mean, we could go back and maybe see some fossils. I'm tired of hearing these guys saying that I came from apes. I go, no, we didn't. I said, even if you study evolution, you can actually take a look at the theory and say we didn't come from apes. We're in the same family, but that's about it.
I'm pretty sure I did.
So all those pictures of the fossils that they found of apes and how they changed and eventually became man, that's all just BS.
Yeah, that's BS. We didn't come from apes. I mean,
we didn't find those fossils and see the evolution of those animals.
You didn't see that. You see that we came from a similar background. We didn't come from apes.
Did you see it being drawn? Did you see the picture or you just see it being drawn, Lisa? Huh? Because if you just saw the picture, how do you know?
Thank you for the call. We appreciate
it. I'm with you, Mike.
Let's try Steve. Wow. Steve is line 3. It's a big topic. It's tough to distill down into just a couple of minutes, but I was just fascinated by the statistic. Again, 62% of Americans do not believe in evolution. That was the question they were asked. Do you believe in evolution? They said no. They did not separate it into creationism versus evolution. All right, Steve, what say you, man?
What's happening, guys? Morning, Lisa May. You know, my take on it is I am surprised that there's 62% of us out there. That's kind of a high number. But kind of along with what the guy was saying before, the probability of two apes evolving at the same time in the same place, getting the same kind of reproductive organs to be able to mate, that's astronomical when you speak about probability. As far as evolution, like he was talking about before, is there, did, you know, maybe a moose have one horn at this one point versus two horns now, that's something that I think everybody can kind of agree on and say, you know, that's definitely something we can see. As far as fossil records, you don't know if those are just extinct species, what that's all about. The fact is, we don't know. I mean, can you tell me for sure that
okay,
you
so,
know?
Okay, so you're again saying what the last guy's saying, which is that evolution may be happening, but the beginning of it had to be started by some other force, or we don't know what it started? What started?
Well, we don't know. I mean, for me personally, I take solace in the fact that maybe there is a creator God out there who's, you know, taking care of us, but that's just me. I'm not saying that everybody has to believe that.
Right.
I don't get why the creator God couldn't have created evolution.
You're right. That's absolutely a lot of things that a lot of Christians and a lot of
lots of scientists are Christians.
Yeah.
So you're saying the genetic connection between man and primitive men, that's a leap of faith for you, but a magic being putting creatures on this planet, that is something you can get behind.
Well, when you say magic being, I guess it makes me feel kind of stupid. No.
It was meant to.
Well, I mean, you tell me. I mean, what are you saying it is then? Everyone's saying it's like just this power, this force that there's no proof for. You can definitely get behind that, but there's genetic proof showing the correlation between primeval man and modern man, but that you have a hard time with.
And I'm not denying the fact that there is genetic correlation, but that isn't to necessarily say that it's an evolutionary step for us.
It's those millions of years.
And I'm not arguing millions of years thing like
of selection. I don't even get how that's selection, a leap of faith.
But isn't the weirder question is how does a guy like Beer Mug, who's clearly a throwback to a million years ago, how is he born in the 20th century and continue to live among us? That's what I don't understand.
Because we've evolved to protect the lesser of our species. That's why.
Thank you for the call. All right, we only have time for one more, you guys. Which one do you want to go to? Because I know we got a lot of different opinions up there. What do you guys think?
Oh, man. Well, does this have to settle the whole thing? Because I don't
see. No, I just talked to Eric because he says it can't happen because it's too complex for him to understand. So it can't.
Line six.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
I'm glad you decided to talk to me after all.
Me too.
It's not too complex for me to understand or for anyone to understand. It's simply too complex. It's called irreducible complexity. When you're talking about a cell, a genetic cell, when Darwin was examining it, he wasn't capable of looking at it at a genetic level. So when you're talking about the complexity of a cell, you can't take a part away from it and then just assume that it's going to continue to develop or it's going to be able to provide the means for other beings or other.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Cellular mutation has proven that fact.
Right. I mean, Darwin didn't have that scientific capability in the 1850s when he was writing his book, but it has continued to be studied continuously since then and has always been proven correct.
Okay, you're missing a few facts. There is no current proof of any kind of genetic development beyond its kind. Okay, where's the missing link? You keep referring to this missing link. I'm going to give it to you because since we don't have a lot of biochemists out there and a lot of...
Hey, I'm a biochemist.
Okay, let's talk about it in an analogy.
Okay.
Okay, we talk about monkeys on a typewriter. If they're given a million years, they can write the Bible or Shakespeare.
Right.
Okay, what language? What language is it going to come out in? Because, first of all, right, monkey language. Okay, so...
Well, are they typing on monkey typewriters or English typewriters?
When you're talking about communication, you need
the
foundation
for
communication.
We took the wrong call.
Eric, you may be going wide of the point here. Listen, all I know is that room would smell terrible. We're going to say goodbye. Here's the thing. I think, and I don't speak Eric, but I think what he was saying is we haven't found the quote unquote the missing link, the creature that goes from where we last left off with primeval man to where we are today. They're finding new bones all the time that are close. I mean, they're definitely in the ballpark. Yeah, they haven't been able to find every single example of every single thing that's walked upright on the earth. No. But they've got enough of it that they can put the pieces together and see that A led to Z.
But they did find the apple core that Eve ate. So they got that on their side. Yeah, they found that.
All right, so it kind of balances out.
Maybe they win. I don't know.
Well, all I know is my day is very different than Beans. Yesterday, 0% of my day was spent on this particular...
Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on, Ralph?
I will be deleting large numbers of emails
today.
I'm just letting
What's
you know.
What's wrong with you guys?
I'm going to be hitting right-click shift or large amounts of emails.
I was just saying the exact same thing to Bean. I said at least we could look forward to being called idiots, which is fantastic. And Bean's like, I can't delete them faster. I'm like, what?
I feel like I've already gotten it out of my system now. So I don't need to talk about it anymore. I'm done for a while.
We've had the conversation. All right, let's talk about showbiz news.
Just for the record, that was Bean. I don't really care. Either way, I will enjoy your emails.
Let's talk about show business news, music news. Specifically, Neil Young's annual Bridge School benefit concert, one of the biggest, coolest, hippest music events of the year. Kevin is not behind it because it's Neil Young's involved. I knew you were reaching for something, and I assumed it was a nope of some kind.
Nope.
But he does put on one of the coolest events of the year. All the benefits, of course, go for his Bridge School. And Neil Young will be performing again this year. Shows are October 22nd and 23rd at the Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California. All of the music will be acoustic, as it always is. But here is the lineup. This is pretty eclectic and pretty cool.
He gets some pretty bizarre and sometimes huge acts.
Yes. Arcade Fire.
All right.
Dave Matthews.
All right.
Wow. Eddie Vedder. Foo Fighters. Mumford & Sons. Beck. Diana Krall. Carlos Santana. And Tony Bennett, amongst others.
Wow.
What an eclectic, interesting group of musicians. All for the Bridge School.
And by that, you mean there's plenty of breaks for beer.
No, come on. I would want to watch all lineup. Of those people. I would see that whole, well, maybe not Beck, but almost the whole lineup I'd be watching.
And he doesn't, they don't generally, if I recall correctly, record or sell these shows. It's just they make the money off the ticket sales, T-shirts and everything like that. And it's just you got to be there in person kind of deal.
Mumford & Sons, come on.
I was just going to ask you how they would sound at this point.
Raising money for the school. The Bridge School needs benefits. I really want to thank Neil Young for putting us on your lineup. Putting us on your lineup.
Neil and his wife Peggy have a special needs kid. I think that's how this thing got started. And they sent him off to school, and ever since then, they've been really into the cause and raising money for others. So it's been great.
Can't they have school someplace else other than on a bridge? It seems like that would be you're open to the elements there. You got cars driving by and stuff.
No, that's just the name.
Why did they build a building? Why do they have to put the school on a bridge? It seems like you're endangering the children.
No, it's just the name of the school. It doesn't have anything to do with the location. They're fine and they're safe.
Why do you hate kids?
What?
Mother and father of Amy Winehouse are scheduled to give their first interview after the death of Amy, and they're giving it to Anderson Cooper. Now, you'd think maybe he would get this on his show on CNN, but no. This will be the first episode of his newly syndicated talk show, Anderson. Premieres September the 12th. It's going to be syndicated, so you'll see it around the country during the day. It's going to be done live in New York City, and then he's still going to do his daily nighttime show on CNN. But Amy's mother, father, stepmother, and boyfriend are all going to be on the first episode talking about Amy's last days. So. Oh, Anderson.
That's not appropriate. Come on.
You sound. This is from the first episode.
Stop giggling. It's a tragedy that she passed.
Tell me about Amy Winehouse.
Sorry. Come on, Anderson.
It's a serious topic, Anderson. Come on.
You're embarrassing yourself. You're a newsman.
All right.
All right? All right. Come on. Pull it together. Pull it together, Anderson. Look for Anderson near you. He's going to do another show called Cooper on the afternoon.
Did you guys see the, is it the Tot Mom is all I can remember her by? The girl
Casey
who,
Anthony?
Yes. Her parents are, first interview, Dr. Phil.
No way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yep. What's he paying for that?
Dr. Phil.
And while we're talking about daytime television, Regis Philbin has announced the final date that he'll be appearing on the daytime talk show Live with Regis and Kelly. Told Kelly Ripa yesterday, November the 18th, that'll be his final show.
Oh, Bean's going to wear all black.
Oh, can you imagine the sobbing coming from the Baxter household on that day?
Look.
We're not going to. Anderson, come on.
Funny,
it's not
laughing. Bean. At
Regis and Kelly.
Come on now.
Regis.
Sorry.
You should be sorry.
Regis is a great broadcaster, and he will be missed.
He's really not a great broadcaster.
He is. No. I love his show. No. I love watching him on his show.
He's fine. He's fine, but he's been around forever, inexplicably. He's just been around so long. You know, if anyone's around long enough in a given profession, they get to be known as just an icon of that industry or whatever.
Right, but I think he's
just
earned
been
it.
On television
Doesn't
a long time.
Deserved.
That's all.
Doesn't
he's
mean
he's
hilarious.
A great broadcaster.
He's not hilarious.
He's fine.
He is
he's
hilarious.
Fine. He is, don't get me wrong. He's fine. I have nothing against the guy, but
I don't
he's
either.
Just been around a long time.
I will tell you this. He's not in any way hilarious.
No.
That's
no,
just not that's close. The wrong word.
Nope. Pick another word. Inoffensive.
Interesting. Whatever you want to use. Not hilarious.
He's fine.
Sorry.
But people have grown to know and love him because he's been around for so long. But it doesn't make him a great broadcaster.
He's not, a great
he's
broadcaster.
He's not Edward R. Murrow, okay?
I stand by it. I do. And guys like David Letterman would agree with me. Guys who worship Regis for the great broadcaster.
They worship him because he was on television. They were kids and they looked up to him because they wanted to be on television. Doesn't mean he's a great broadcaster.
Is that your final answer?
See what he did there? Because he hosted a show called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Wow. Well, that was the catchphrase. Final. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Today's celebrity birthdays. Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 60 years old today. Michael Emerson celebrates his 57th birthday. You know him as Ben Linus from Lost.
He was so great in that role.
What a great character. Oh. What a great performance. He's the best. 57 years old today. Corbin Burnson is 57 as well. Tom Everett Scott celebrates his 41st birthday. Shannon Elizabeth of American Pie fame. You know, they're all getting back together again, the American Pie gang.
Yeah.
Saw that.
For one film, but the entire cast is returning. She'll be there. 38 years old today. Devon Sawa is 33 years old today. And Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I look across the room there, and it's like there are two Ralph Garmans. It's like twins. He's in a pod.
Ladies and gentlemen. He's Superman. I'm Batman. That's the difference.
Very different.
Yes.
Well, I think it's impressive in these contentious times in which we live that you two can get along. You can be together on the same side of truth, justice, and the American way. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Scott Cranford joins us in studio. He is the comic book fan, if you don't mind, self-professed comic book geek, if that's accurate, Scott, who has been running HeroicWorld.com since all the way back in 2000 and is perhaps best known to comic book fans as being the Superman at the Metropolis Superman Festival every year, at least used to be for many years. How are you, Scott? Welcome back, man.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Wait, what happened? At least used to be.
Yeah, how many years did you do it there?
8 years.
8 years you were Superman. Yeah. And for those who don't know, in Metropolis, Illinois, which is the only city in America that's named after, or has the same name as the city that Superman lives in,
right.
They do a big celebration every year to celebrate Superman. And it's a small town.
It wasn't big in the early days.
It's a small town, and it's got that small town appeal to it. But everyone comes out to celebrate the character, and for many years, Scott played the Man of Steel himself. He'd walk around and meet the kids and take pictures and stuff. It was a very cool gig.
Now, Scott, give me the bookend description of both ends of that that deal. How did you get the job, and then why did you leave it? Because it seems like something like that would be something you'd look forward to every year.
Yeah, it was a great job. You know, I heard about it on a radio show similar to this one. And
but better, though, right? That's what's being implied here.
I definitely won't say that.
I hope so.
And I put in everything that I had to do with Superman, which was a fan film and Book of Morals that I wrote about Superman, and photo, and a couple other things. They called me and gave me the job. It lasted for 8 years.
8 years, all right. And then what happened at the end? Did you
leave? You know,
did you get fired? Was there an ugly incident?
When I got the job, it became a big deal, and it became a big media thing.
Right.
You mean the event itself got bigger and bigger?
Yeah. So they were trying to get some more publicity to do. They thought a big search would give them big publicity.
Right.
And
you just said how it started.
Well, yeah. So they were trying to do that again.
Again, I
so
see.
They thought
so they thought looking for a new guy would give them more press.
Yeah.
So you were fired.
Well,
they
it
kicked
didn't really
your
work
butt
out
of Metropolis.
It didn't exactly work out that way. You know, they led me to believe that it was a committee decision when it was actually just one person who was trying to.
Isn't that the way
Lex
it is.
Luthor? It was Lex
had
Luthor.
It had to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Had to be.
Yeah, they kind of. And then I retired and, you know, found out later that the mayor and other people were surprised.
Oh, that's a shame.
I was surprised too. But, you know, it worked out fine. You know, I got to make the movie.
That's right. True. Heroic Ambition, name of the documentary that Scott's in.
That's right.
Now, we have so many questions for you, Scott, because we don't talk to you nearly often enough. But the movie is done. It is out. Is it out on DVD and is also being shown on the big screen this week?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And it's going to be tomorrow night at the Library Connection, it's called, which is where all the best documentaries are shown, at Adams Square in Glendale. It's probably easiest to just remember Scott's website, heroicworld.com. You made this documentary about your years playing Superman in Metropolis?
Yeah, that's correct.
There is an interesting story to be told in the story besides Scott's involvement, because it's interesting. There's this little small town celebration that goes on, and then there's this big guy who runs these comic book conventions who wants to come in and sort of make it more of a money-making corporate kind of event.
Right.
So the dichotomy between those two perspectives is interesting to watch in
and
this small town.
That second group is run by Lex Luthor.
Yeah, yes, that's the bad guy in the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
What has it been like for you, Scott? I joked when you sat down that you and Ralph are peas from a pod because you both probably grew up as comic book fans. And what's it been like for you to see the mainstreaming of comic books where almost every other week this year we've had another superhero movie hit Cineplexes? Is it crazy for you? Do you love it?
No, I really enjoy it. You know, ever since CGI came in, it really opened them up to be able to make these movies and make them believable. So it's been really great. I enjoy all the.
But your take on Superman is a little different than most because you wrote your own book of morals for Superman.
Yeah.
And most of the movies and TV shows, and I don't even know about the comic books, but it doesn't seem like that's a part where he's trying to teach kids to recycle or whatever.
Well, that was my thing. I was trying to become a good role model for young people, so my ambition was to try to play Superman in the TV shows or movies.
I see.
And I felt that that would, you know, establish me and be able to, you know, get the Book of Morals out there and be able to be in a position where I could, you know, motivate children to do the right thing.
What do you think of this Henry Cavill or Cavill or whatever his name is, who's the new Superman? You think he's a good choice?
Yeah, I do. I think he's pretty good. He's got a good look, and he seems to have a polite demeanor.
But no red briefs. No red briefs, Scott.
I was a little surprised.
You're screwing
to see
with
that.
The costume.
Wait, wait. What are you talking about?
You know Superman's costume, the traditional classic Superman costume.
It's got an S on his chest,
right?
And a cape.
It's blue, like blue tights, and then he wears the red briefs with the yellow belt.
All right, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
No
but okay.
Briefs anymore.
No briefs. No. Just nothing there? Just naked?
Well he's got a
naked.
Belt.
Belt.
He's got a sort of a belt.
He's got a giant cod piece.
Okay.
That much I know. He's packing a cup.
You
I know
seem
that
very
much,
upset.
Sure.
You're more upset than Scott Cranford is.
Because they're screwing with the tradition.
Superman. He played Superman.
I know.
For
his
years.
Costume was a good costume. This new costume, not good. That's what I'm
wow.
telling
you. All right.
Are people going to come see this movie tomorrow night, Scott?
You know, it's filling up pretty fast. I'm
really?
Surprised. Yeah.
Do you have a large family, or
stop it?
No, I'm trying to figure out what the market is for a film like this. I know how tough it is with many entertainment options available to get people's butts in the seat. That's
well,
or seats
know,
in the butt, or wherever you do.
Seats in the butt. Yeah.
You know, people really love Superman.
Yes.
And you know, I've got that on my side.
Right.
So I think that's why people have taken such an interest in the movie.
It is an interesting story, and I got to tell you something. We have fun at Scott expense occasionally. We like to rib him a little bit, but this guy means it what he says. He absolutely is wants to be a role model for the kids. He teaches them a lot of good stuff. He uses his opportunity when he meets the kids to really sort of be a good role model, and I have to applaud that. It's very impressive.
Thanks, Ralph.
You're welcome.
So Scott doesn't have a white panel van as I was imagining.
No, he's not. He's a good guy with a wife and
a
kid
wife.
Of his own.
Oh, you don't have a wife.
And sure, a kid sure. of his own.
You don't have a kid.
That he is raising, I'm sure, in the Superman set of values that he's put out there.
Here's what Scott That's is right. trying to help. This is a message to kids.
The things that I would always try to tell children, stand up straight, shoulders back, always be positive no matter what the situation, find the good in it and concentrate on solutions. Never raise your voice. Calm sets a tone and it relaxes people. Treat everyone as equals and expect the same. Believe in the potential of your fellow person and genuinely wish great things for them.
A lot of things for a kid to remember.
Yeah, you know.
And really,
do
you start as Superman with stand up straight? I mean, isn't there?
Yes, because you want to.
But
well,
don't you
want
have
them square? You want them to
shouldn't
put their shoulders
Superman
back,
be talking
proud?
About something more important?
Hey, Kevin,
stand up straight.
Well,
that's just
one of the things.
Posture is important. Yes, if you had better posture, you would have gone further in life. I guarantee you.
It's very possible.
You
but do
hunched
I need,
over little troll.
But do I need that message from Superman?
Yes, you
He's
do.
Superman.
He stands straight. Superman stands straight.
All right.
Yeah, it's
just bringing up the question.
Physical fitness, moral fitness, it all comes in the same package.
Kevin can find a negative in any situation.
Oh,
kid,
right? Oh, yeah, man.
Our guest is Scott Cranford. The website is heroicambition.com. We have not yet begun to make fun of Scott, but that will
Stop
continue
it.
Right after this. I mean, have a great conversation with our friend Scott after this of the Kevin.
Exercises like sleep or eating, you have to do it. And if you're playing Superman, you have to do it
a lot harder. There's no shortcuts.
Yeah, don't tell Bean that, by the way, that you have to exercise.
Bean does not adhere to that rule of thumb.
He is the opposite of that.
That is the voice of our guest, Scott Cranford, on the Kevin and Bean Show. He played Superman for 8 years in Metropolis, Illinois, for their annual get-together. I guess, was it a week? A week a year? Is that when they did it?
It was a four-day celebration.
Four-day celebration, right. Yeah. Scott's movie is called Heroic Ambition, and it is screening in Glendale tomorrow night. You can get all the details at Scott's website, heroicworld.com.
You know, I was happy I was able to drive up to the my wedding in the Batmobile.
Yeah.
Scott got married as Superman in Metropolis. That's where he married his wife for real.
No way.
You see it in the documentary. See him standing there in the Superman
costume.
She's
an actress. That's a fake wedding, right?
No, that was a real wedding.
You talked a girl, A, into marrying you. B, into doing it at the Superman festival.
Actually, the town offered it to me.
They did?
And I said, that sounds great. And they really went all out.
Then you bring it to the girl and you say, hey,
they're going to give us a wedding.
Well, she was there. You know, they were talking to her, too. So,
I see.
You know, it sounded pretty good. You know, we had a normal wedding here with my family and friends and all that stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How long have you been married, Scott?
Since
this one.
2002. So.
Wow.
Nine years?
Yeah.
Much longer than I would have expected.
She's very understanding.
Very understanding, right?
Yeah.
Now, Ralph, do you remember, how did we first discover the magic of Heroic World in Scott Cranford?
I think Scott may have sent out a press release about some of his characters. Maybe that's how we first found out about him. But we fell in love with his character. Scott not only plays Superman and is a fan of comic books, but he also has created his own characters and his own line of comic books and entertainment projects and that kind of stuff featuring those characters.
What was the first that caught our eye? Was it the Human Furnace?
Human Furnace, I think, was the first guy who caught our attention. Yeah.
Describe for us Human Furnace again, please, Scott, if you don't mind.
Cole Burns.
Cole Burns is his secret identity. Cole Burns
created a heating source that lasts forever.
Okay.
And when it was about to be stolen, he swallowed it so no one would discover his formula.
Okay.
And he became a living inferno, burning everything in sight, and became the Human Furnace.
Tell us about Malt Man. That's my favorite.
World where the future where there's no malt. It's not one of my more serious characters.
I'm sorry. What the heck you say?
Wait a minute.
He comes from a future where there's no malts.
Right. He comes back.
Everything else, just malts are somehow missing.
Right.
Okay.
But, you know, I believe that character still has, you know, great nutritional value.
Sure.
I do too.
Why is Malt Man, half machine? That's the part I never really understood.
He makes malts.
Because he couldn't go back as a human through the technology that his creator sent him through.
Right.
Where do these characters live? Do you actually publish a comic book, or are they online, or what?
Right now they're online, but I've written screenplays for Sharpman, The Earth Avenger.
Hold on, slow down. Let's talk about Sharpman.
Sharpman rules.
He's sharp?
Smartest man in the world.
Yeah, he's the super smartest guy. He's the backbone of the Heroic World.
He's like the company. Superman, really.
Yeah, he's
for
like
you.
The Superman or the Spider-Man for Marvel. And he's a super smart guy. He manages to, through the character Sharpman, to change the educational system. And now he's got to become a crime fighter in order to keep it going. So he's just a really little guy who wears a fake muscle suit.
Okay.
And, you know, he has to use his brain to figure out how to come off heroic and solve crime.
What's his, if Cole Burns is the Human Furnace, what is Sharpman's role?
Kevin Ryder.
right.
Justin Wise.
Wise.
Of course it is.
Is it possible? I want to see these characters on the big screen more than anything.
Is it possible some of these names are a little on the nose, as they say?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you got... In real life, that kind of thing happens. You know, Bernie Madoff, he made off with the money.
See?
Tell me about Austin Storms, who, of course, in your world is known as the Cloud. Austin Storms, who is known as the Cloud.
He was a con man who regretted his decision of leading an unmoralistic lifestyle. So he made a deal as he was going up to or going down to heaven to become a cloud to try to rectify his... his life.
Redeem himself.
Yeah. Tell me about your half comb, half man. What's comb?
It's a combination.
It's not a comb. It's combination.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Bionic Man, but he is a protector.
It's spelled C-O-M-B dash.
Yeah, combination.
That's like combination.
It's like combination.
Yes.
He protects the world's most valuables. He's a kind of a robot, and he puts them in his chest.
Just like a safe.
Safe, yeah. He's got a
Come
safe
on, Kevin.
I see some new ones. The Flying Coen Brothers.
Yeah, the Flying Coen Brothers are actually live-action characters.
They're actually going to be at the screening tomorrow. They're in the movie.
Oh.
It's the first time that juggling has been mixed with heroics.
Okay.
They use juggling to fight crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? They just, look at me, I'm juggling.
You ever get hit one of those pins that they juggle?
No.
That would hurt. That would stop you from mugging someone if someone threw one of those at you.
But if I'm mugging someone, shouldn't he not waste his time juggling?
But you're distracted. You're so impressed by the juggling, you stop doing what you're doing.
Tell me
criminal.
About Barricade. This guy just gets in people's way. I'm going to go rob a bank, and they're just going to, no, you're not. I'm going to stop you.
It's Obstruct, Block, and Fortify. They're a team.
Okay.
Obstruct is an alien who works with the team. They're the greatest protection agency in the world.
Sure.
The Wave is my personal
The Wave.
Favorite.
Yeah. Rowdy Highwater.
Rowdy Highwater is his secret.
He got involved. He was an ex-surfing champ, and mm-hmm. then he got mixed up in some toxic chemicals, and it changed his body into a jello-like substance, and he's
the
now
story
the...
Of Bean. That's right. He's fluid, just like Bean is. He's boneless.
The slipperiest detective.
The slipperiest detective in the world. Scott, we've been talking about these characters, seems like, for years.
Yeah.
What's the status? How far are you along in your quest to try to get this stuff off the ground? Because it seems like it's been a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, it's not easy, you know, when you're trying to... get heroes out there and tout yourself as a hero.
Have you approached any of the existing comic book companies with these ideas? Maybe getting one published or something?
I have not approached the two big ones. I'm actually about to approach DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
with stories for those and possibly some studios to try and get the Earth Avenger, which I believe is a really strong character, and Sharp Man, and maybe Disarm.
Because in all seriousness...
And Co-Man.
Combination.
I'd say that's more along the lines for a cartoon type
of
character.
But in all seriousness, comic books now are primarily for adults, and like myself, you go to the comic store and you pick them up, and they're fairly
sophisticated
and adult-leaning in topics, and there are no comics for kids anymore, and I think this line would be great to introduce kids to comic books and get a whole new generation of readers.
Yeah, I really do, too. I have 100% faith in these characters. So it's just a matter of time before they're household names.
Well, I wish you the best. I really do.
Sorry.
What are you laughing at?
Come on, Kevin. 100% faith, just a matter of time. I'm saying...
I have faith as well. I don't have 100%, but I have faith.
I have faith in God as well. Notch it down from 100 to 90.
What do you do? What's your straight job? What do you do to make a living, Scott?
I work at Bauer Pottery. It's a pottery company.
No, so you
have
a job.
Part-time. I have other jobs.
Kiln man.
Kiln.
There you go.
He bakes criminals inside of him and makes them hard like ceramic.
I would think the human furnace would be a great asset to you at your job.
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking of making some...
All right.
We're out of time. If you want to see Scott's documentary, and you should, it's playing in Glendale tomorrow night at the Library Connection at Adams Square. And you can get the further information, directions, and whatnot at heroicworld.com. That's where you can also keep up with everything else going on in the wonderful world of Scott Cranford, who really does take a beating when he comes in here. But we appreciate it so much, Scott. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
I'm surprised Ralph didn't follow Scott Cranford home. I'm surprised he's still here. He didn't go off and live with Barry.
I'm not inviting him here anymore because you guys are just too mean.
What are you talking about?
How are we mean? He's like a real Clark Kent. He's mild-mannered. He means well. He's truth, justice in the American way. The guy really believes. And he comes in here, you guys just poop on him.
I'm not kidding this when I say... I think we bent over backwards to be nice.
I agree.
I totally agree.
So,
yeah, who's going to come see your movies, Scott? Oh, it's filling up pretty good.
Do you have a big family?
Do you have a big family? You're just sick.
Someone needs to snap him back to reality, lower his expectations a little bit.
Maybe it's not your job to do that.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. I'm just trying to help, though. I like Scott. He seems like a nice guy.
You're all about helping
people. Bean is about helping. That's true.
He's a giver.
One thing we know.
All right. Time for the last showbiz beat of the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Wesley Snipes.
Guilty.
Yes, he is. He should get used to life behind bars because he won't be out for a while. He started serving his 3-year sentence in federal prison last December after being convicted of tax evasion.
Well, won't he get out early for good behavior and all that stuff?
Well, he's been trying to get a new trial.
Oh.
Once late last year with the U.S. Supreme Court and more recently with the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta, both courts officially now have denied his request, so he is staying put behind bars for the remainder of his sentence. So he may get out a little early, but he's going to do some serious time in a federal pen. That's not good.
I've seen a lot of shows on that. It's not fun.
I know many will disagree with this. I'm not a big fan of sending people to jail for tax evasion because I'd rather have them out there working their asses off and paying the money back instead. I think that's a win-win for everybody.
You put them to work on a chain gang or something?
Or whatever. Whatever it is, they could be contributing members of society and you know, lower the debt by actually earning some money rather than sitting in jail and not doing that.
And costing money.
And costing us money, exactly. I don't get to send them to prison for their taxes. I really don't.
Yet some would say, how do you create a big enough incentive not to cheat on your taxes unless you threaten with some serious jail time?
Well, I mean, it's a complicated issue. Obviously, this is where we're at right now, but there sure are an awful lot of people like Wesley Snipes behind bars.
So you shouldn't always bet on black. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Sometimes black loses.
See? Yeah.
It was the slogan, wasn't it?
It was the slogan.
What was the movie called?
Passenger 57.
That's right.
Always bet on black. Anthony Michael Hall of 16 Candles fame, he is in trouble with the law as well. The L.A. cops showed up at his condominium complex last Sunday night. Word is he went on a rampage, yelling at his fellow tenants, pounding on people's doors randomly, tearing up plants in the courtyard. Someone called the cops and demanded that he be arrested, and LAPD did just that. They took him in for suspicion of disturbing the peace. And he was released shortly after midnight yesterday morning, so no word yet on what his trial situation is going to be like. Maybe he'll be able to settle it out of court. But he was upset about something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably saw that Judd Nelson was working again or something. Just sent him into a tailspin. Nick Jonas has a new girlfriend. Photographers for TMZ.com caught up with Nick and his girlfriend Delta Goodrum. Delta Goodrum sounds like a Scott Cranford superhero. She is 26. He's 18. They were soaking up the sun in Los Cabos, Mexico last weekend. That's where they were hanging out. No chaperones on the trip, so you know what that means.
Nothing.
Nothing, because he's wearing that chastity ring around his junk. You know what I'm saying?
Cutting off all the blood flow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Oh.
Look, I think if you were to do a poll of young people who have taken the chastity pledge, Ralph, you will find that their level of sexual activity is identical to those who haven't.
And you're basing that on?
I was going to say, do you have some sort of survey?
I read the news.
Oh, Nick Jonas is so cute.
He really is. And while we're talking about sex and celebrities, the sexy show The Playboy Club is still getting heat. This time from the San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women.
Never heard of it.
Sent them a resolution, NBC that is, last month, urging the network to replace the program with a series that instead depicts women's substantive achievements.
If they want it to only last 1 week.
Press release called the Playboy Club a major step backward for women who have struggled to earn an equal place in the workplace, in the community, and at home.
Are they going to present it like it's current day?
I don't think so. No, they're still making it a period piece about the early 1960s and the first Playboy Club in Chicago. And you know, San Francisco Commission on the Status of Women, they're not actually hiring those women to work at the Playboy Club again. It's not a real job. They're actresses who are well paid to portray those people. It's not really threatening women's position in the workplace at all. I don't think people are going to watch that show and then come in the next day and say, "Hey, you, honey pants, you give them a slap on the hands. Go get me some coffee. Yeah, make it a martini and a pack of smokes when you get a chance, will you? All right, sweet cheeks, yeah. And while you're down there, I don't think that's going to be happening over in the IBM office the day after the show airs. Everyone just freaking relax. It's a TV show.
You're not allowed to realistically portray a period from this nation's history, Ralph, if it's not politically correct today.
But I understand, how is the show going to be a major step backward for women who have struggled to earn an equal place in the workplace?
Well, it isn't, first of all. And then second of all, see, first of all.
It's just a TV show.
I don't know.
And it's on NBC. So who's watching? Really, is what I'm saying. No, I'm kidding. It's a great show and a great network, and we love you, NBC. Boom, boom, boom. Today's celebrity birthday is Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 60 years old today. Michael Emerson from Lost and the soon-to-be-seen Persons of Interest. J.J. Abrams. I'm not quite sure what that show's all about
Me
yet.
Me either.
But I like it.
I've seen a lot of Jesus.
Something
this is
spooky, and there's cameras watching you everywhere you go, and something is up.
Same with every project J.J. Abrams kicks off, is that you don't... It looks interesting, but you don't know why or how.
Yeah, but I'm in.
Me too.
He's 57 years old today. Corbin Burnson is 57. Tom Everett Scott celebrates his 41st birthday. Shannon Elizabeth turns 38. Devin Sawa is 33 years old today. I'm impressed Bean not once today has gone, "Hey!" when I announced Devin Sawa's name.
I don't know who it is.
Oh, he's not Asian. So you erred on the side of caution.
Oh, good.
Right. Yeah.
Good.
33 years old today. And Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, Thursday morning, an all-new program. We have comedian Jeff Proops in the studio.
Or Greg.
Greg
or
Brooks, Greg. I believe his name is.
I was thinking Jeff Probst.
Oh, man.
I think I was.
Oh, it just gets better every day.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty positive. All right. Jimmy Fallon.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty positive.
Jimmy Fallon also on tomorrow's show.
You sure you don't mean Jimmy Kimmel?
It's the kickoff of the NFL season, people, tomorrow.
Or is it the kickoff of the NBA? Are you
Come
sure?
Come on now. NFL season. We've got from the NFL Network Rich Eisen, and from Jersey Shore, we have Sammy.
Or Snooki.
Sammy.
Or Jenny.
It's
you
Sammy.
Don't know, man. You
I'm
don't
right
know, man.
I'm just
saying.
I'm
right
you,
on I'm this one. You, I'm saying you
I'm
guess.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty positive.
It might be Sammy from Jersey.